the 1480 AM studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Mr. Joseph J. Erdo.
Hello, Dave. Oh,
you sound scary. You sound like the 13th floor, by the way.
Zombies.
Oh, yeah. You look like a zombie, but sound like a Rob.
Oh, well, today is...
No, I'm not kidding.
Today is part three of Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween Hullabaloo. It's Breakthrough Entertainment's Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare Show.
How long did it take you to learn that voice?
I've got a lot of voices.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah. We're going to have a blast. Oh, Dave Isaac is here, our host. Greg Isaac, co-host. Trisha over here, another co-host. There's Eric behind the glass. Eric Reinert on the board taking our calls. 602-252-1480. And I am Joseph J. Erdo, producer and film commentator.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I was watching the new TVs.
Oh, I know. There's new TVs out there.
You have new TVs?
It's scary. Oh, but see you later, Greg. All right, he's gonna go. He's gonna watch the Powerpuff Girls. We'll see him later.
I didn't know they even had TVs.
Oh, who's that?
Who's that girl?
That's his wife. That's her name, Sherry Moon.
Sherry Moon Zombie Baby.
Baby.
Baby Firefly.
Wow. That...
She was really cute there.
She was
at the Great American Nightmare.
Oh, it was fantastic.
That was a nightmare.
Baby was there. Yeah, Baby was there. She was really cute. Younger than I remember.
Well. Sherry Moon's cute.
She's okay.
Should we tell Trisha some of those monsters were flirting with me?
Well, yeah.
Especially
know.
Some of those guy monsters.
Yeah, the Bubbles that had or something?
Bubbles, coming
yeah,
after
yeah,
you.
Yeah, Bubbles
I
was
flirting
with
I thought it was a girl,
you.
Though.
No,
that
was
a
dude.
When, yeah, you need to learn the difference.
No, I did.
Hey,
I said turn
hey,
in
there
coffin.
Are, there are some didn't guys didn't that are hotter than a lot of girls I've known.
Wow.
What?
Well, that would make sense.
Like
for
John Cusack.
Guys are a lot
well,
of
No. I'm saying guys that look like really hot girls.
And that's scary.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's scary.
Yes. Well, you know, it is we are ready to be scared today.
Yes.
It is one of the most jam-packed shows. We really have to be on the ball today, okay, Dave?
I'm on the ball.
Okay, Dave?
I think what he needs is focused, baby. Focus.
I need focus.
Yes.
Because, I'm in focus.
Because, you know, we're celebrating three movies today, primarily.
Oh.
That's House of a Thousand Corpses. Of course, the theme
one
song.
One movie per hour.
Yes, one movie per hour. House of a Thousand Corpses in this hour. Next hour will be The Lords of Salem, and we will finish out our 3 hours with The Devil's Rejects.
Did you see Lords of Salem or Lord of Salem? Or
yes.
You did?
Yeah. I did not care for the movie.
Yeah, nor did I.
No. But the other two are awesome. And, you know, but all three movies have been brought to life for horror fans across Phoenix and Arizona and the Valley because Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare is over there at Westworld, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic, the setup they have over there. And there's so many haunted houses out here in the Phoenix area, but the difference with this one is being based on the movies like that.
It's something that we're familiar with.
Exactly.
Rob Zombie.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Who,
and
who can say no to Rob?
No, you can't. And who could say no to Captain Spaulding, too, you know?
No.
I think Nancy Reagan did. She just said no.
Oh.
Well. She said no to everything.
Yeah. That's why Ronnie
she was no fun.
I don't know. Wow. How do you describe that when she said no to Ronnie?
I'm not sure.
No idea.
I have a headache. Sorry, that's how she said it.
2014. Yeah. But Captain Spaulding, I'm sure that we'll hear a little bit from him a little bit later on
who's
in today's
that?
Show. Captain Spaulding. Remember you met him? He had a hot dog on his shirt.
The bigger gentleman.
Oh, yeah. The guy that was, like, stealing that girl and she came to me.
No.
No, that was at the end of the... Don't spoil too much of it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We're also... you know what? In all fairness, we did go and experience the Great American Nightmare for ourselves.
Yes.
And we're going to give you...
And for
you know,
others.
Yes. And we're going to share our experience.
We not only
experience.
Pleasured ourselves, we pleasured others. That's what you're saying.
Hmm. Careful. Oh. And, you
I'll
know,
let
we're...
That one slide.
We're going to, you know, give our reviews, our, you know, detail our experience during this first segment.
Because
it was pretty impressive.
It was.
Now, I have a question.
Yeah?
Is this something that's going to like travel to multiple cities?
Well, it's only around this time of the year. And
right,
last year it was in California.
Okay.
This year there are two versions, one in Chicago and one here. Chicago's got a little bit different version of the haunted house, right? They've got Super Bisto and Haunt of a Thousand Corpses, which is basically a reincarnation of the murder ride.
Okay.
And Museum of Murderers.
Oh, wow.
And you know, so but they're wanting to expand it, and I'm sure that Glenn will you know, fill us in on you know, how it's doing. And they want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to visit this kind of haunted house in the future.
Well, it sounds very cool, and I think Phoenix is lucky to have it.
We are very lucky, and you know, so again, we'll give our detailed reviews, but definitely a thumbs up on my side.
Do you know where Captain Spaulding came from?
No.
The name?
Yeah, the golf ball or
no.
The tennis ball.
No, that's a different Spaulding.
Oh.
It's from Groucho Marx. It's from Animal
right.
Crackers.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yes. When I was looking him up, I was...
I had no idea.
Yeah, I was trying to do some...
So you said there's many
things.
Versions these days.
Yeah.
In this day and age, I heard there's not that many versions.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, anyway. Yeah. And but we've got a lot of other exciting things today as well. You know, again, it's our Halloween Hullabaloo Part 3.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be talking about a lot of different movies. Felony, Young Ones, The Two Faces of January, The Best of Me, and Fury. We have on we have on screenwriters Jeff Robison and Casey Twenter on behalf of Rudderless. We've got on director Alex Ross Perry for the new comedy Listen Up, Philip. It comes out next week.
Oh.
And also, our 11 o'clock hour is going to be really exciting because you know how much we all love food.
Yes.
Especially
oh,
me.
Yes.
Yeah, and how much we love bacon.
Well, bacon is good. I try to say...
I'll love it today.
Is there a Texas donut in our future?
I don't know. You know, because
oh, man.
Funnel cakes,
I can't
mentioned?
Wait.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know what's coming in studio other than assistant executive director Christy Walsh. Yeah, I know that she's coming in studio.
She's
I know
not
that
she's
going to
be wearing edible clothing, is
no,
she?
I don't know.
It's all heart.
David, get your mind out
it's
of it.
It's all heart stopping
no, food.
Food.
Yes,
are you kidding me?
It's going to be heart stopping
well,
food. It's everything
like
from Arizona
clogging.
State Fair.
Yes, and you know you've heard of heart attack on a stick. This is heart attack in your hand.
Yes.
I've been doing my research since I didn't get to do Rob Zombie. I've been researching my fair food, and I've got some things on my wish list that I hope she's bringing.
Well, we don't, because all I told her was bring. What's that?
Deep fried Twinkies.
Probably.
No,
well,
no, I want
the hot
something
dog in
new
the
and creative.
With the hot dog in the middle
that
of the Twinkie.
That is new and creative inside the Twinkie. That's
oh,
true.
A Twinkie
that's
and
oh, my
dog.
God.
I told her, bring your most daring Arizona State
oh,
Fair
no.
foods.
Oh, like snails?
So I don't know if they have that.
Yeah,
we'll
they
have
to escargot out. At the fair, Dave.
Oh, yeah, probably not. Caviar, maybe.
Yeah,
caviar.
Maybe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, prime rib.
But you know, I don't. Whatever she brings in, I'm
half
going to
eaten
eat.
Prime rib. That's what they're going to have.
Can we all agree on that? Whatever comes in here, we're eating?
No. If it's snails, I'm not eating.
He will not eat insects. But I will tell you, they have, like, chocolate-covered frog's legs. Mm-hmm. They have...
Maybe I'm...
They have alligator bites. They've
I
got,
might do that.
You
what
know,
part of the alligator?
At the fair?
Yeah. Yeah,
I want some bacon fair? Cotton candy.
But you know, okay, you know
I
what I
that.
Really want. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. Okay. Besides the deep fried watermelon, which I hear is excellent.
Okay.
The thing that because you mentioned bacon and I almost started salivating thinking about this. This is the new twist. Okay, it is a Reese's peanut butter cup wrapped in bacon and then deep fried.
Yes,
hello.
Joseph promised
hello,
me those.
Hello.
Really?
Yes.
Hi, good.
We're going to be fighting over
right.
this stuff. Okay, wow.
Not if it's snails.
Wow.
You'll
well,
be
I'll,
enjoying it.
I will. Go ahead. Christy, if you're listening, bring the snails on. I don't care.
I love escargot. I love snails. And I don't know if I'd like them chocolate. I like them in garlic.
And I don't want you guys to fill up on this, but I brought you each a treat here to start us off.
Yes, you
this
did.
This is not from the fair. I remember a few, about a month ago or so. On our fall preview show.
Did you cook these a month ago?
It's
no.
cookie with duck
these
tail
these things
on
are
it.
Hard to find, I've got to tell you. These things, I still haven't found the Pebbles candy corn flavored cereal. That is very hard to find, and I probably it's impossible to find now that I've mentioned it over the air. If you've got it, please send it to me, 602-252-1480. 602-252-1480.
Candy corn flavored
pebbles.
Fruity pebbles.
Yes, yes. Now that sounds excellent to me, and I've been looking for it for the last like 2 months, and I haven't found it. I know that the stores have it, but I believe that some stores might be hoarding it. But they aren't hoarding these maple bacon cookies.
I think my cookie would be much better if I went and got a cup of coffee.
Well, yeah, okay. Get a cup of... You're right. I think you're right.
Well, if you'd, you know, you can taste it whenever you want, but I brought it.
Jealous?
And if you'd like, you're
no,
welcome to taste it.
No, because I have a full pot over there.
It's got bacon bits inside of the cookie. It's got bacon crumbles on top. It's got the maple maple frosting on there.
I took a nibble.
Yeah? Yeah.
Ooh, like should bacon, we take
right?
a nibble?
I taste more maple than I taste anything else.
Well, yeah. Maple is pretty overpowering. I enjoy them.
That was tasty.
It's good. It's good. What do you think, Dave?
I'm not going to get Ebola, am I?
Now, no. Now, there was a critique that I heard about the maple donut bacon cheeseburger.
Yes.
And it was critique that the maple donuts were too sweet. So really, you have to make it a maple donut double bacon cheeseburger to get enough savory to offset the sweet. So maybe that's the case. Maybe they need to put
with
more
tater
bacon.
Tots.
Like
maybe, yes.
Bacon wrapped maple bacon cookies.
I would be all in for that. Yes. Yes. I, you know, this is going to be an awesome show.
You know, when they get the cameras in here,
yes.
they're going to go, "Oh my gosh, they're all like 2 tons after eating all this fair food."
I was begging.
But it is only because of the fair food. Right now, I'm a size 2. I'm just saying.
Well, I was begging Eric before the show. I was saying, please, can't we have the webcams today? And if not today, next week, because you're going to hear some information a little bit later on today's show about our Halloween special.
Really? What is it going to be? I can't wait.
We've got some really great surprises, and we're going to have to figure out some way to let our listeners actually see us next week as well, because this is going to be a lot of fun.
Because we're going to deal with the occult.
We are.
Oh, we are?
Yes.
Dealing with the cult?
We're going to...
Which cult?
We're going to have...
Occult.
Cult?
We're going to have like people put curses on you, Dave, and we're going to see if they...
Wait a minute. We're flying out right after the show.
Yeah.
No. Headed for our anniversary cruise. curses.
I had a wicked put curses. A curse on me. Actually, not a curse.
You guys
a love potion.
You guys have been married a year already?
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, that's amazing, right?
It was the same exact weekend last year we did our Thanksgiving special. It was the weekend after Halloween, and he was gone.
I was gone.
Well,
and he didn't tell anyone where he was.
Tell anyone? Did I?
You didn't?
I
don't know.
I don't know.
Oh,
did
sure.
I think
Greg,
I did.
Greg
it was just
knew.
Greg and me here.
Greg knew.
Holding up the fork.
How about deep fried pumpkin pie?
That's the mini. Wow. Well, there's a mini apple pie.
Original
like
mini apple pie. Yeah.
And that's supposed to be phenomenal. And the deep fried pumpkin pie is supposed to be great.
Wow, a lot
too.
Of good stuff.
But that's in our last hour. We're not staying focused.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because I got excited doing my research.
Do you like fried chicken?
I do.
Some tasty fried chicken?
Yes, I do.
We're
going to
talk
some?
A little bit about that. No, but you know who does have it? Who has it, Greg? Who's got the
Kentucky Fried Chicken,
KFC?
Popeyes, Fries, Grocery?
Captain Spaulding.
Yeah,
he's got
he
the tastiest fried
chicken. Yeah,
I thought he had a
tasty.
Hot dog.
He's on his shirt, but he sells the fried chicken.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
If that's part of Rob Zombie's thing, are you sure it's chicken?
We don't know. We have an idea that it's probably not. Well, some of it probably is, but there was a mermaid. Just that mermaid guy?
Deep-fried mermaid? Fantastic.
Wow, okay. Well, before we...
That's a delicacy.
It is.
Before we review the haunted house, it's been going on. It's been going on for the last several weeks.
I'm going to get me some mermaid tail later.
I think it's called a merman when it's a guy. It's a merman
they have mermans?
Does that mean
I'm not looking for merman.
Does that mean Kathleen's going to dress up as a mermaid? You're going to get some mermaid tail?
Maybe.
Oh. Happy Halloween!
You can only imagine what goes on at our house.
Ooh.
We're all uncomfortable.
No, right. I'm excited.
Well, are you kidding?
I'm not uncomfortable. It's only
beautiful.
You, Joseph.
Yes.
Well, it's a lot of... This is, wow. Blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Last several weeks, this Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare has been going on over there at Westworld, right?
Yes.
Whereabouts is that basically, Greg?
Westworld, off the 101 and kind of the
Rain Tree
area.
Yeah. See the horses there, right?
Absolutely.
Horse show they have there.
Yes, yeah. So it's a big place, well-known place, and they filled that giant, what would you call it, a dome?
The big dome. Home tent area. Oh, yeah, it's great what they did.
The entire thing has got the three different attractions in there. Of course, Lords of Salem, Captain Spaulding's Clown School, and the Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
They've got, that's all in there. And it's basically every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I think, right?
I believe so.
Look it up. And, the prices are reasonable. You can get in there for, I think, $30.
Reasonable? $30 is reasonable? Are you kidding me?
For three?
I think it's 35.
For three haunted houses. Not just one. You get to go through all three of them, and the whole thing takes about an hour once you're actually in.
And if you compare with other haunted attractions, it's in that ballpark.
Yeah, and then, of course, you can you can spend more if you want a VIP, but I recommend you just go there with people that you like.
I'm going to go with people I hate.
Well, you know what? If you go with people you hate, then you're going to want the super VIP, and you're going to want to pay it extra expensive so you don't have to wait in the line, and you can go straight in the haunted houses.
But what if they buy the VIPs, too, the people I hate?
Then why do you hate them? Can I?
I don't hate anyone except one person in my life.
Uh-oh. Hey, now,
I know
Eric,
who it is. Too.
I thought we made amends.
No, of course you do.
No, it's been 12 years of H.
You know who you are.
Yes. You know, Colin.
She does know who she is.
Let's have her call in and do some counseling. Wow. Oh, what am I doing?
What are you playing there, Dave? Focus. No, no air shows on there.
I was looking up the prices.
Right. So, but it's. Every weekend, right, through the end of the month.
Yeah. As Joseph said, now it is open on Thursdays. Earlier it was just on Friday, Saturday nights. But now from here on out until Halloween, it will be Thursdays through Sundays.
Yes. And you know, so...
Now, Thursdays and Sundays time is 7 to 10 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays 7 to midnight, so you have some extra time in there. Right. But they got everything moving pretty quickly, though. So it's, again, as Joseph said, I mean, you don't, you know, if you have the regular pass, you'll still get in fairly quickly. But, you know, you got to really enjoy the scenery, everything around. Because even before you get into the houses, you know, there's stuff to do.
Even before you get in the tent, because there's the big animatronic guys.
And the girl, fire...
Eating fire.
Blowing,
she was eating fire
everything.
With hardly any clothes on. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, she had no clothes. I was watching the fire.
I didn't even know she was eating fire until you told me.
I didn't know she had no clothes on. Hardly any.
There was some.
There were?
There could have been less.
How much but, less?
not much less.
Like none? Zero?
She was a very attractive blonde. 602-252-1480. If you're listening, my name is Joseph.
But,
do you want to know me as Joey?
Joseph asked her if he could be the fire, and then she slapped him.
Yeah. Well, and I was flirting with a lot of the actresses there.
Yeah, you were, actually. And quite a few. You asked for dates.
How'd that work out?
It didn't work out that well. You know what? They broke character. They just, I mean, she was like, yeah! She goes, ooh, do you like me? And I said, actually, would you like to go on a date? And she actually, no, I don't. I was like, oh, wow, she just broke character.
I'm working.
But I was called the pretty boy, wasn't I?
Yeah, by that one guy. It's Bubbles.
Oh, it was a guy?
Yeah,
the gentleman that was wearing the thing around his waist.
Now, just so you know, Joseph,
Bubbles
not
was
all
a monkey.
Girls that are working are working girls.
Oh, well, see, that was the problem.
That's
I thought
it.
That, yeah.
So you just got your definition.
And then why did you borrow $100 and she still accepted it?
I don't
and then
know.
I didn't
I
see
know.
You for an hour.
Well, you know, you couldn't see me for an hour because let's let our listeners know. Basically, when you get there, you stand in the line.
Yeah,
everything.
You stayed in one of the haunted houses with one of the Babaramas.
Yeah, I wish.
No, you did. I heard the screaming.
In the haunted bathroom.
No, that was Greg in the haunted bathroom. Got stuck in there.
No, you guys got stuck in a closet, and I didn't.
I did get stuck in a closet. But, okay, so let's before we jump ahead, so we
oh,
go
wait a
there.
Minute. Now are you telling us you're out of the closet now, Joseph?
Well, okay, so we go in the first haunted house, and it's the Lords of Salem.
Yeah.
And this is one of the first haunted houses
now
that...
Now get married.
That they, well, so
oh, yeah.
For one of the first haunted houses that they make completely dark, right? And they want to amplify your other senses, so your senses of hearing and all that.
Can you ask Greg at this point, not to interrupt, did he feel someone grabbing his shirt during the dark days?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Was that Dave?
Yeah, it was.
I felt
hold of his shirt the whole way.
I enjoy these.
It's all right. Dave is a little scared of the dark, but that's okay.
I enjoy these haunted houses in the past. I mean, it's been a couple years, but, you know, I used to go to, like, Scottsdale Scream Park, things like that. So, you know, I lead the way through with Joseph, and Dave holds us back. I just wanted to say, buy your tickets online as well if you want to save money. $25 for general admission if you buy online, $30 at the door. So
to
save a little
good
money,
price.
Check out. Yeah, frighten.com or Google Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare. But the darkness was different. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, of course, that's the haunted house where I kind of like knocked the door open, you know, the exit, and then the little person in a wheelchair and an axe came running up to me. And
said you went the wrong way.
Yeah, but other people were following me. I got confused. You guys were still in there for another 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I didn't know what happened. I got so scared that I just like pushed the wall down. So. You know, I'm sorry, but
it was weird,
try not
yeah.
to do what I did. Because
and all
I
that thought, upper body strength you've been working on, you know, just like hulked it, right?
602, 252.
And then someone bumped in for me, into me from the back, and I go, oh, Joseph, we found you. He goes, I'm not Joseph.
Yeah.
It was that guy wearing the thing around his waist.
It was weird.
It was Bubbles.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, there are some interesting things here. We won't spoil that. But
is that a knife, or are you just happy to see me?
I think he was happy.
I don't know. Did he get the point? I don't know.
Oh, good.
He was a clown, because that, of course, was in Captain Spaulding's clown school.
Yeah.
That's I've never been in a haunted house like that. You wear the 3D glasses, mm-hmm. right? Everything.
Yep.
And Dave, I know that you and I were both really having a hard time stepping on the bridge that we were crossing.
I had to close my eyes.
It was difficult, right?
It looked like I was going to fall off.
Yeah.
And it looked like a big drop underneath. So I closed my eyes and just went for it.
Yeah.
I don't know where I ended up, though.
Well, yeah, the bottomless pit.
And then, oh, yeah.
And then that awesome clown that he was attacking us on a bungee thing. Remember him?
Yeah.
That was
weird.
Was
I told
impressive.
Him to do it again when you came by.
Yeah. And then
I said,
it.
Go a little further, though, and put your legs up.
Well, they're not allowed to touch you. They're not allowed to touch you. You're not allowed
touched.
To touch them.
I was touched.
Okay.
Groped or touched?
No groping.
That guy wasn't part of the attraction. He was just. If
how
you
about
saw,
the
he was
thing
just dressed up in normal clothes.
What was it? A wild pig or something they were going to ride or something?
There was all sorts of weird stuff.
It's weird.
This sounds really incredible.
It was, yeah, and
that was awesome.
And that was only the first two. Then you get to experience the shootout in The Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
Remember that sheriff?
Yeah.
He was pretty angry at you.
Yeah, he was pretty mad.
Wasn't that Arlie Ermey?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. He was very angry.
He was shouting out, shouting at Dave, interrogating him.
I kept creeping near the next.
Yeah.
Event.
Yeah. You were trying to go somewhere, and he was saying, "No, you stay here. You're part of this now." And but he had to keep us safe as well, because they wanted to clear out the Firefly house from the Devil's Rejects and ensure that it was safe for us to go in.
Oh.
But then they shot them all up, and then we went in. They thought it was clear, but it turned out that it was still, you know, they were all in there still.
They were there.
That's where the mermaid was, of course, what we said earlier, the closet. Dave, you walked right in the closet and through it.
I didn't just stay in the closet. You guys stayed in the closet.
Yeah, we stayed in the closet.
But it was different rooms. We got separated, by the way.
But unfortunately, I was stuck in the closet with Otis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who were you with? Was it Grandma Firefly?
I think Grandma. Yeah.
And Dave got lucky. He was with Baby Firefly, and he just shot right through it.
The 22-year-old.
If you were with a 22-year-old blonde girl with a cowboy hat and hardly any clothes, wouldn't you stay there?
Not if you were married to me.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I just said, nope, sorry.
But it was terrifying.
But then she paid me.
Well, it was terrifying. I thought that you guys were going to, not necessarily Greg, but I thought Dave
alone.
Was going to get scared.
Yeah, I was alone.
Yeah, they put us alone in these rooms. That
was
impressive.
Weird, really. I'm not kidding you.
I looked at him and I was like, maybe not, no? And he's, no, you get in there. And so
I started saying,
what
hey.
Was it, the TSA?
It was pretty scary. When they isolate you in one of these haunted houses, I mean, that is really scary. So
we're
that was
isolated
impressive.
More than the Ebola patients.
Right.
Yeah, and there was blood on the TV. They were playing Dr. Wolfenstein.
They did? Wolfenstein?
Yeah, you didn't know because you walked right past
to pray.
It. You were, yeah. But then I genuinely was scared in this haunted house, and that does a lot for me.
I had a closed circuit. They showed you.
Yeah.
We were all watching you in the bedroom.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You were watching me in the bedroom.
Yeah, they had closed circuit.
They arrested
Joseph.
That guy I heard on the news.
He's playing on the TVs in the other room.
Yeah.
I go, look at Joseph, go.
But I don't know. So I'm going to give it an overwhelmingly happy thumbs up for Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare. What say you guys?
Yeah, no, I liked it a lot. I preferred as it went on. I mean, obviously, the Lords of Salem was different. You know, it was okay, but I thought it just got better and better as you went through, because then the next one, you know, with what was it, the 3D Captain Spaulding, I thought that was fantastic. It was original. And then, of course, with the Devil's Rejects, just everything, how they played it out, just, you know, even if you haven't seen these movies, it would still be fun, but definitely check them out if you haven't seen them yet. And if you have, it even makes the experience better.
Yeah, I agree.
Dave? Definitely thumbs up.
Yeah, big thumbs up. My preference was the 3D one, Captain Spaulding.
More than Devil's Rejects?
And the other one I liked, too, a lot.
I was most scared in Devil's Rejects.
Yeah, I was sort of more scared in the 3D, because some of those guys were, they were scary. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, yeah.
There are a lot more girls in the other one.
Right. And as we said, baby Firefly is, you know, she's very dangerous.
Yeah,
but
that's
she's
why
very
I didn't
cute.
Want to stay in the closet with her.
Right. Well, I, you know what? She could do whatever she wants with me. That's fine. Baby,
really?
Baby Firefly, if you're listening, go ahead. Give me a call.
All right. He'll be happy to do part two redo.
Yes, yes.
Ooh,
I'm happy to stay in that bedroom as long as you need me.
It's a bedroom, not a closet.
It was a bedroom at first, and then we went in the closet. Yeah.
And there were people lying on the bed, and I thought they were going to jump up. Did they jump up at you?
They did. Well, no.
I ran real quick.
You know, Dave, if I was in your room with Baby
if
Firefly,
you were in my clothes,
if I was in that bedroom with you and I saw the bed, I would have been like, okay. Yeah, I'll go in there. But, you know, Otis calling me in the bedroom, that was a little bit creepy.
Wait, what is he saying?
He's saying if he was in your shoes.
Oh, my shoes.
And it was Baby Firefly.
Oh, Baby Firefly.
Inviting him into the bedroom.
Inviting him.
Yes. Then there would have, she wouldn't have even gotten through the invitation.
Through the invitation.
In there and jumping on the bed.
She would have got through the first word and I would have been in there in bed and just ready to go. Here we go. Well, anyway, we've got.
There were cigarettes. For those who partaked.
Well, 602-252-1480. But we've got a lot more shows, so we've got to go ahead and get to a break. This, of course, is Rob Zombie singing us into the break with Everybody Scream. This is the Wolfenstein theme song from House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah. And we'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
Howdy, folks. You like blood, violence, freaks of nature? Well, then come on down to Captain Spaulding's Museum of Monsters and Madmen. Yeah, see the alligator boy. Ride my famous murder ride. Most of all, don't forget to take home some of my tasty fried chicken. Ha-ha! It just tastes some good.
And that was
Captain Spaulding
at Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare.
Yes, at Westworld.
That was the movie, Captain Spaulding's?
Well, no, the movie was House of a Thousand Corpses. That was a clip. That was the commercial in House of a Thousand Corpses. Of course, Captain Spaulding runs the murder ride and Museum of Monsters and Madmen.
I will say, because you mentioned in Illinois how they had the murder ride there, if they have, because I know they're looking to go around to different cities and stuff, but they have it in Scottsdale again next year. I hope they add that part to the Scottsdale location.
Me too, because you know that was my favorite part of you know all three movies is that very beginning of House of a Thousand Corpses when we meet Captain Spaulding. That was very creepy, and you know so that's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and it could be that what they're doing is as they're creating these things, they like brought what they had in California, brought it here, and they created new stuff in Chicago. So then next year, what was here will be there, and what was in Chicago will move somewhere else or back here. Yep. And each year, they build more.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I think that's probably the way they're going. And it will be great. And then Rob Zombie, I know, has other movie coming out. Not sure
31.
When it's coming out. Yeah, based on Halloween type of situation.
Yes,
not the Halloween franchise.
Right, but. And we don't know what it's about. We know that there's a clown that's the poster, but it doesn't have anything to do with Captain Spaulding or any previous characters. Doesn't have anything to do with John Wayne Gacy or anything like that. There's a lot of speculation. This is a new film, original idea for Rob Zombie, and I believe next year we'll get to see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe they'll put that as a haunted house as well. So
in the future, yeah.
Or maybe we'll broadcast from Illinois.
Or we can do that. Or we can be syndicated, Dave.
Oh, that's right.
Could broadcast all over.
Everywhere. Every haunted house possible.
But do you remember when House of a Thousand Corpses was originally coming out?
Well, yeah, you know, it was supposed to come out, what, the early 2000s, and then it ended up being like 2003, something like that?
Yeah. And I remember originally seeing the trailer for it, and they said, you know, the scariest movie of all time.
Yeah.
And that hyped me up. And usually when movies, you know, when that's promoted like that, you're like, no, no.
Right.
But it was. It was pretty scary.
It was, because it was different, really, from a lot you've seen. I mean, it's disturbing, but in a good way, you know, if you're going in to watch a horror movie that's rated R, you know, that's obviously what you expect. And, yeah, I mean, it makes you jump a little bit. And just some of the characters, especially some of the villains in that, bad characters, I mean, they really pulled it off well. So both that and Devil's Rejects were fantastic. I haven't seen Lords of Salem yet.
You don't have to.
But, yeah, I know, to. Yeah, a little different take. I did like Rob Zombie's, both his Halloween movies. I thought it was a nice take on the Michael Myers situation, and I know maybe a lot of others weren't big fans of them, but I thought they were pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
They're different.
I agree. It was, Devil's Rejects was just so iconic. I mean, that's just like when you think of a horror movie now, that's basically changed the game in terms of horror movies. Because, I mean, I sympathized with Captain Spaulding and Otis and Baby. Didn't you kind of sympathize with them near the end during their demise?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
But I did like the movie a lot.
I felt bad for them. I don't know. Maybe because
really?
I didn't want to.
Psychopathic murderers? You felt sorry for those guys?
Yes, because they don't know what's going on in their head.
Oh, well, that makes it all right.
Well, you know, okay. Maybe it was just I didn't want to see them go because I wanted to see a Devil's Rejects Part 2.
There's ways to do it still.
Right. You can bring people back from the dead in the movies and the TV.
It's very possible.
Right. So we definitely got to get invited back to Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare 2015.
Ooh.
But before then...
And I want to go this time.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're in
female's
town...
Female's perspective.
Oh, yeah. You were out of town.
Well, I was out of town and working.
That's what I was missing, you know.
I was so dull.
I was missing a female's perspective. A lot of my friends from, you know, my different groups, meetup groups and stuff like that, I wish that I could have heard them.
No
scream.
Females that went?
You would have wanted to hear me go, ah!
Whoa.
Oh.
Wow.
Whoa. There goes the speakers.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. There goes the audience.
Well, in the meantime, let's play one of the most memorable songs from House of a Thousand Corpses. This is one of the most memorable songs. You remember, Greg, when they played in House of a Thousand Corpses? I remember you by Slim Whitman.
That song. That's a good song.
And you will not. This is one of those songs made scary by horror movies because in the movie, it is a little bit scary. There, you know, basically, the cops are discovering the Firefly families.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
They're victims, basically.
Yeah, basically.
And House of a Thousand Corpses truly is a thousand corpses in that Firefly house.
I didn't see
that's a different song. With Slim Whitman.
Right. Slim Whitman. He killed all the aliens with his voice.
He did. Yeah. Great work.
Eric, who was the original singer of the song? Like Bing Crosby or something?
I don't even recognize it.
Oh, you don't?
He's
I'll look it up.
Into something totally
probably
different.
Slim Whitman.
All right. Hey, nice. Oh, I thought that was you. It wasn't.
It was me briefly.
Oh, it was. Anyway, this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. This is our, what is this? Our Halloween special?
No, that's next week. Breakthrough Entertainment's Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare Show.
Oh, that's
and
the
carny
show.
Food.
And we'll be right back.
No yodeling.
I remember to a distant bell and stars that fell like the rain out of the blue.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
I want to be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you. I want to be loved by you, alone. I want to be kissed by you, just you, nobody else
and
but you.
And, ladies and gentlemen, this is 1480 AM. KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Breakthrough Entertainment. That's our own Joseph J. singing.
No, that's Baby Firefly.
Oh, is that Baby Firefly? That's the one
I wish I got to sing.
I rejected that one?
Yes.
Oh,
doesn't she sound? She sounds cute, right?
Yeah, she sounds cute. Like that, Baba.
Helen Kane.
Yes, it's Helen Kane, of course, lip-synced by Baby Firefly
like
in House of a Thousand Corpses. I Want to Be Loved by You.
It's a good song.
It's scary.
And I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph J. Erdo, Craig Isaac, Eric Reiner, and Trisha, Baby Firefly. I'll be back.
Yes. Yeah. Well, again, 602-252-1480. If you are one of the Baby Fireflies at Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare, please give us a call.
How many were there?
There were several. One was very, very, very hot. Gotta tell you. She had a nice...
I think Sherry Moon's pretty hot.
She had a nice giggle. Yeah. No, but Sherry Moon wasn't like 20-something years old. I mean, maybe she was in the movie, but in the haunted house, yeah, this girl was like 20-something. Well, he was like 20-something.
Yeah, he looked at her ID.
She was cute. 602-252-1480.
So is this Rob Zombie Funhouse thing going on in multiple states at one time, or is
it's
it just
going
here?
On in two states this year? It's going on in
Illinois.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. And Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the first night Rob Zombie actually played.
Yes,
he did. Yeah,
we weren't invited. We'll get invited next year.
Oh yeah, yeah. We'll get to that early so we can get out there and watch him. Yeah, I thought that was Betty Boop singing.
Yeah, I know. Well,
sounded
it's Helen Kane, of course. Yeah. You know, it was really neat in the haunted house when they asked when Baby Firefly went up to me and she was shouting, "I'll let you out if you know the name of my favorite actress." And my mind blanked because I was so scared, and I was like, I was, Greg, what's the name of her favorite actress? Do you remember?
Oh, that's what you were asking me.
Yes.
I do remember you asked me something.
Siegfried.
Betty Davis, isn't it?
I think it was.
Or Judy Garland. It was one
of those old time. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That must have been a dude.
No, it was a girl. It was Baby Firefly.
Sure it was.
Okay. Well, regardless, 602-252-1480.
It was Mr. Baby Firefly.
Well, there are several movies opening this weekend. We'll get to a couple of big ones in our next hour, but we've got three to get through right now. Some of smaller releases, but smaller doesn't necessarily mean bad.
Yeah.
Felony stars Joel Edgerton, Tom Wilkinson, and Jai Courtney as three detectives who become embroiled in a tense struggle after a tragic accident that leaves a child in critical condition. One is guilty of a crime, one will try to cover it up, and the other attempts to expose it. So basically, one of these detectives commits a crime involving this child. The child is left in critical condition. One wants to cover it up, the other one wants to expose it. Dave, did this look good to you?
The trailer actually looked very good, like a very good thriller. But I couldn't quite tell. I always say this, if the plot doesn't hold up, I couldn't quite tell if there'd be one of substance or one of form, and that will be the deciding vote.
See, and that's why you can't judge a
trailer
movie by its trailer,
book.
Because this is an excellent, excellent
good.
Movie. It features a very smart screenplay by star Joel Edgerton. Of course, we've seen him in several films, right?
Yeah.
Joel Edgerton, great actor, apparently a great screenwriter as well. Cleverly calculated direction by the director here, Matthew Saville, and concretized performances by all three leads. Great, great performances by all three of these actors. It's a rare crime thriller that acknowledges that one very important detail. And most crime thrillers don't do this. That, you know, in real life, morality is not black or white. It's gray. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah, I guess it depends on intention and motive.
Well, yeah. It all has to do with intention and what, you know, if this crime is exposed, what the consequences of that will be. Yes, there are some obvious consequences, but what are the, you know, overwhelming consequences? Doesn't mean what he did is fine, but it's just tricky. It's not just okay, you did a bad thing. And contrary to what Hollywood suggests, there is no obvious distinction between who is the good guy and who's the bad guy, and that makes it extremely easy for viewers to not only empathize with all three of these characters. You don't know who you want to side with, because they've all got very good rationale for their behaviors and actions. And I was completely engaged in the events in this movie from beginning to end. It also makes for some unsurpassable suspense. Thumbs up for Felony.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I think you'll really like that. Playing over at one of the Harkins theaters.
Very, very good.
And now The Two Faces of January has a great cast as well. Viggo Mortensen and Kirsten Dunst play American tourists who meet a scammer working as a tour guide, played by Oscar Isaac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cousin Oscar.
Yeah, see, you remember him. Instead of becoming his latest marks, the two befriend him, but a murder at the couple's hotel puts all three on the run together and creates a precarious bond between them as the trio's allegiance is put to the test. Dave?
Well, again, the trailer, it looks like a subtle thriller, and it looks like it has great potential. I like the cast. Viggo Mortensen, I just think he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Underappreciated, I think, or underrated. I especially loved him, and I think it was Appaloosa.
Appaloosa, yes.
Fantastic.
History
he's
of
such...
Violence was great, too.
Yeah, he's a
I didn't
great
care
actor.
For that one.
You didn't like that?
No, or the one that was shortly after.
He's a
that.
Russian mobster. What was that one?
Yeah, something about the hand or something
where
like that.
Where he had tattoos
yeah.
all over.
Yeah, it was a very similar style to both that and History of Violence.
I liked both of them.
Okay.
But he's a fantastic actor. And Kirsten Dunst in it, like our, we said, Cousin Oscar Isaac. The trailer looked really good. Very subtle to me, but I think they probably, if they had twists and turns in the plot and it wasn't muddied up, could be potential. What do you say, Joseph?
Well, you know, once again, you can't judge a movie by its trailer. This is a thumbs down, you know. Mm. It eventually comes to a rolling boil, this movie. There's a nice foot chase near the end involving Viggo Mortensen and Oscar Isaac, but it simmers for far too long before that. It just lost my interest in the process. It's a shame, given the talent of the people involved in this project, you know, both in front and behind the camera. You know, this is the directorial debut for Hossein Amini. He's previously penned... one of my favorite movies of all time, Drive. That was a great movie, right, Eric? Drive?
Which one was that? Is that your
Ryan conceited? Gosling. No, I'm not.
Oh.
Ryan Gosling.
Oh, yeah,
I did
yeah,
see that,
yeah.
but I don't remember if I liked it or not.
Oh, okay.
It's you know, I don't really like Ryan Gosling because I don't think he can act. All his characters are the exact same thing.
Not even Notebook?
Depressed.
How about Notebook?
Just, like, very morbid, like... Well, acting.
Well, I want the jacket that he wore in Drive with the scorpion
I'll
on the back.
I'll search for it for you.
Yes,
I thought you were going to say you want his ex-girlfriend.
Well, that one too, yes.
Rachel McAdams.
I'll take any of them, any of Ryan Gosling's ex-girlfriends. I'm sure that he probably doesn't have a bad one in the bunch.
Notebook. You like that movie? See that?
I love that movie.
It's a total chick flick, and I just
I love chick flick.
But Dave is really, really in touch.
I see that he's in touch with his feminine
side.
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Well,
but only in a good way.
Yeah. Oh, I love. That's why he's a chick magnet. I really. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
6-0-2-2-5-2-14 Oh no, Trish was there. Okay, can't do that.
Trisha, don't you have to go potty or something?
She does live in California. She doesn't know what you're doing when she's in California.
Oh, wow.
That's a good one.
Well, see, there's okay. The two faces of January.
Dave Isaac.
The two faces of Dave and Isaac.
See, that's why he has two first names, because I know him as Dave Isaac, and the rest of them, when I'm in California, know him as Isaac Dave.
I have three first names. My middle name's Stuart.
Stuart, that's true. So, oh, wait a minute. You have another life I don't know about?
No, just
ooh,
three.
Ooh, the Stewie life.
Ooh, Stewie. I'm from Family Guy.
Wow. Well, the Two Faces of January lurches forward at a placid pace. Largely depends on our patience, and I just didn't have enough of it. You know, it's momentary. There's momentary times of intrigue in the movie. It's got genuine engagement. I'm sorry. It doesn't add up to any genuine engagement, but, you know, boredom prevails in the movie. You know.
One quick thing about Viggo.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was like 3 years ago I heard he said he was retiring from the movies.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so did Ryan Gosling. Didn't he say he was going to retire from the movies?
Pretty much most actors have. Shia LaBeouf has done some pretty crazy
Joe
things.
Pesci
we'll talk
too?
About him briefly in a little bit. Yeah.
Did Joe Pesci say that?
Yeah, and he did.
I don't think it was by choice, Dave.
No, he was a bit older.
Yeah, well, you know, so again, that foot chase at the end of the movie is heart pounding, but it's a little too late. Thumbs down. So finally, real quick, Young Ones. Michael Shannon plays a man who, in a near future, when water has become most precious and dwindling resource on the planet, defends his farm from bandits, works the supply routes, and hopes to rejuvenate the soil. But his daughter's boyfriend, played by Nicholas Hoult, wants the land for himself and will go to any length to get it. Elle Fanning and Cody Schmidt-McGee also star. In this film. Dave, any brief comments about this one?
Well, the trailer, it looked good again. It looked dramatic, suspenseful, and action-paced. However, what can you say about a land that needs water? I mean, that sounds boring to me.
And you know
sounds
what?
Like California.
There you go. Based on the trailer, again, you were wrong.
It's not the future. It's right now.
Yeah, pretty much is right now.
Oh, it's good?
But no, no.
Drought. It's a drought.
Drought. But based on what you said about the trailer, no, it's not good. It's a thumbs down. Again, you can't judge a movie by its trailer. It's eventually kind of compelling, but it's bogged down by way too much window dressing and not nearly enough narrative. The director here wanted to make a futuristic Western juxtaposing robots with a dry desert frontier for an ambitious-looking piece of cinema. However, the story is just about as barren as the world in which these characters are struggling to survive. There's nothing to go on here. It's art house audiences may appreciate its stony tone, but most moviegoers will be a bit bored.
Wow. Okay, so you got two thumbs down, one thumbs up. The thumbs up is... what was it?
Felony. Yes, but there's a few other movies that we'll be talking about, in their next hour.
And I'm going to guess there's probably a couple more thumbs up coming down your way.
We're hoping because we can't
we're
just
hoping.
We want to give people some choices.
Saturday night, people want to do stuff, right?
Ups coming down.
What
you said? Thumbs up coming.
Oh yeah,
down.
Thumbs
up coming down the pipe.
Down the pipe.
Better than I.
Down
said,
the pipe
said
or pike?
Thumbs up.
Is it the pike or the pipe?
Pipe.
Pipe. What's the pike then?
Don't smoke.
That's a peak.
Don't smoke.
Oh, that's a peak. Okay. So, I'm excited because I'm going to be reviewing with you, of course, The Best of Me and Fury.
Yes. Two big movies out this weekend. So
I was the only one that got The Best of You.
Oh, yes, you do.
Ooh.
Yes, Shakespeare.
Some romance
in January.
Coming up. House of a Thousand Corpses.
The Two Faces of January.
The House of a Thousand Corpses. Brick House, sung by Rob Zombie.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
This is the end credits of House of 1,000 Corpses, and that wraps up our House of a Thousand Corpses hour. Next up, Lords of Salem.
Excellent. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Stay tuned for more. We have another 2 hours of Breakthrough Entertainment to go. Counting down 10, 9, 8, and we'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Erdo. Yes, the one and only. And Greg Isaac, Eric Reiner, Trisha. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment. This song sounds familiar. Joseph, what is it?
God Hates the Lords of Salem by Rob Zombie. This is Breakthrough Entertainment's Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare Show. And this is our... to the Lords of Salem.
And he's been on a lot this show so far, Rob.
Well,
I know, I'm just teasing.
It's all his movies.
Okay.
And again, three big thumbs up.
It's not just a haunted house. It's three haunted houses in one.
Yes. Oh, Bobby, Pub Crawl, yes, the Pub Crawl is in 2 weeks.
I don't know why she bothers asking. She never goes.
I know, she never goes. So, you know what? And I don't know if she'll recognize me because I'll be in my Halloween costume then. But
I thought it was a bar
aren't
crawl, not a pub crawl.
Already in your Halloween costume?
All right, so today I'm actually enjoying a picnic with, I figured I've
with
isolated
Shannon?
Enough. Yeah, Shannon will be there and, a lot of my other friends. I don't know if Danny might be there. And,
Danny.
You know, but
are you taking the duck?
No, the duck will not be there. The duck will be somewhere this week, though.
Yeah, on a barbecue.
I'm going to tell you. No, that's not even nice.
That's not nice. Why did I say it?
That was mean.
That is mean.
Because he's thinking
Eric liked
of
it,
the
though.
Fried chicken.
I thought it was funny.
Right.
Peking duck.
Well, okay, so since here's...
Yeah, peeking
here's,
out from under the barbecue lid.
Here's what's coming up. Today, I'm going to a barbecue, a potluck in the park and stuff like that.
Nice. So, what park, can you say?
Chaparral Park. Chaparral Park.
So that'll be fun.
See, your friends like to have alliterations, too.
Yes.
Picnic in the park.
Potluck picnic in the park.
Can we crash it?
Hello.
Will there be a lot of pot?
Hello.
If you're lucky. No. No, I'm just teasing.
Oh, yeah.
No, we got rid
That's
of a couple of friends
potluck.
That did that. All right. So, then on Tuesday, there's a really exciting event coming up. America's tallest fresh cut Christmas tree is arriving October 21st at Outlets at Anthem. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's like 100 feet. And how tall is that? I forget. 250?
The tree is 115 feet.
Wow, that's tall.
Once it's decorated.
Does it play basketball?
Well, right now it's 112 foot high. It's white fir. It's going to arrive at 6 a.m. this coming Tuesday. Mm. It's got a four-day journey from Northern California, so it's already on the road.
It must be tired when it gets here.
I know. Well, you can actually go on outletsatanthem.com, their website, and you can track where the tree is.
Wow, tracking the tree.
Yes, they have a tree tracker. Tree.
Yes, they do.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, you guys went there last year, and I was sad I wasn't part of it. I'm very excited that...
Yeah, we're gonna.
I'm
fun.
Gonna be part of it. This
yes,
year. This
it's
is
gonna
cool.
be. It's gonna be a blast. There.
November 15th, did you say?
Yes, yeah. I believe the 15th. And you know, so it's again at the Outlets at Anthem. They're welcoming you to come out and visit the tree this Tuesday when it arrives at 6 a.m.
That's when it's naked.
Yes, it's naked. You'll get to see it in all of its. You know,
is it a boy tree, girl tree?
We'll find out. We'll find out.
We're not sure. Eric, what do you think? A boy tree, girl tree?
I don't know. I'd have to look at the pistils.
Oh.
Well, I think it has lots of rings. So
is that what they're called,
girl.
Pistils and something else?
Stamens.
No, the rings
Stamens.
Are the yeah. age of the tree.
Yes, and wow. a woman gets more rings as she ages.
Oh, yeah.
You can hint, hint.
Yeah. Oh, hint, hint.
Wow.
Jared Jewelry. Okay.
Anyway, a waiting crew of 14 will secure the tree to a large strap, which a construction crane will then hoist it off the flatbed, rotate it, and lower it into a specially designed tree well in the center court. That's right next to the food court there. And again, your onlookers are welcome to watch the progress in a special viewing area where many activities will be taking place. Got carolers performing from 6:30 to 8:30. Santa Claus letter station. You can send your letter to Santa.
This is in October.
Yes, this
wow.
is next week. Yes. Hot chocolate and cookies. I mean, come on. Hot chocolate and cookies.
They
are you
better
ready
have
for that?
Maple bacon cookies.
I know. They better.
Now I'm just like, so addicted.
Yes.
So again, 6 a.m. arrival this coming Tuesday. Crane lift at 7:15. And Frozen will be there.
You're going to bring Frozen?
Frozen has been there every single year.
Oh, my. For how many years?
The Outlets of the Anthem. And Santa Claus actually knows Frozen by name.
What, Frozen sits on his lap?
Well, he knows every child by name.
I know. But is yes. But he knows Frozen, especially, like, he knows him by his face. And well, he knows.
And he sits on Santa's lap?
He is kind of a very unique face in the crowd.
Yes. Yes. But Frozen has gone there every single year. And he's very excited that the tree is coming. I've showed him the website, and you know he will be there in his Magic Mike diaper.
Wow! Did Frozen, when he was on Santa's lap, say what he wanted for Christmas?
Well, he had last year. He did.
And what did he want? Like a girl duck? What is a girl duck?
Corn, right?
Yeah, corn. Exactly, corn.
Such thing as a girl duck.
See, Greg knows. Greg listens
yes,
to the show.
Yes. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any ducklings, baby.
Oh, they're eggs. I get them at the grocery store.
But so Frozen will be there, you know, and Santa Claus and all that fun.
Santa
this
Claus
coming
too?
Tuesday, and we'll let you know more information about the tree.
And you'll
itself.
Be there. And you'll be there too.
Frozen,
right?
You called in. Thank you so much.
It was really hard to dial the phone with his little.
So how many people show up at 6 a.m.?
Not that many. Not that many.
But the big event, November 15th, they had, what, thousands, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that show up.
Well,
yeah.
They've got a lot of entertainment.
Yeah, we don't know who will
be
there. But we will be there,
we're
yeah.
We're going to be there.
So, you know.
You might take the stage.
I doubt that. But
no, I think you could do some invitation, singing.
Yeah, I like to do some singing.
Tap dancing.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
The kids will love you.
Okay. Well, very good.
We'll have baby. Well, what's it called? Baby 22? Baby Huey? No, who's
what?
That girl?
Firefly.
Baby Firefly.
Baby
that's
22.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. 22.
Baby Huey was a duck, though.
Babe. Yeah, it was a duck.
Speaking of ducks.
Yeah, that's true. And, of course, to backtrack a little bit, then the following week, I'll be at a Halloween party. I'm sorry, Bobby, you were not invited, but the week after that, I'm sorry.
Are we?
No, well, no, you aren't either.
That's okay, because I'm going to one you're not invited to.
Well, that's fine.
Potluck
but
picnic in the park,
and then
followed by
a Halloween party.
Halloween party that's private.
Yes, but then there's the public party on November 1st, the day after Halloween. you can come out, including Bobby, you can come out as well to the Halloween bar crawl out in Old Town Scottsdale, and everyone will be dressed up. And
Nice. That should be fun.
Yes, it'll be a lot of fun. I'll give you more information as we go. And again, next week is our Halloween special. I'll give you more information about that a little bit later in today's show.
Excellent.
But you will definitely want to tune in for that because we're going to be dressed up in our Halloween costumes and everything.
What are you going to wear?
Well, listeners will have to listen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a, okay.
Yeah. We have to go to a party, and I don't know what to wear.
Oh.
You don't know? I think go as Dracula.
I put some fangs in last year just because...
Didn't work?
I wasn't into it.
Still
it was
thirsty, huh?
You're not into very much.
I don't know what to do.
I think go as like Fred Astaire or Gene Kelly.
Trisha's sizing me up, thinking of what I could wear.
No, like Gene Kelly. You sort of look like Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly, really?
Yeah. Dance,
but
dance
then I'd have
your
to
way.
Dance, and I don't want to
oh,
dance.
Oh, okay.
Go as Beetlejuice.
Mm. Go as Michael
That's
Keaton.
Too elaborate, sorry.
Oh. Wow.
I'm trying to think of something I don't have to pay a lot of money for or put a lot of makeup on, just something simple.
Go as Chris Christie.
Yeah. Really?
You have to put a lot of pillows.
I better start eating now.
Yeah. I was going to say, he's
exactly.
Well, the fair food is coming.
Yeah. No, really? So. And will it be fair or be delicious?
Both.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Well, you know, so and there's a lot more to come on Breakthrough Entertainment, of course, throughout the next few months, our holiday specials and everything. So you're going to want to stay tuned to that.
Are we going to have a New Year's Eve special?
We are. But you know what? Right now, what people can do and get involved is breakradioshow.com. Click on the big F. We've got a contest on their costume. It's our Birdman advanced screening tickets. You can get VIP seats.
Yeah, have you seen that?
No, I have not.
That looks kind of weird, but
it
maybe
does.
Okay.
Yeah, so
great cast.
And you can advance screening passes for that seats. We're giving away a few of them, so go to breakradioshow.com. Click on the big F. There's a few ways to enter. You got to like us on Facebook, subscribe to our audio alerts, and know the word of the week.
Let's pick one.
The word of the week?
Birdman.
No,
that's everyone does that, and then I say, yeah, you got to listen to this show.
How about Metropolis?
No, that's too big.
Wait a minute. We've been talking about Frozen dialing in with his webbed feet.
Yeah?
How about webbed feet?
How about, or web?
Feet.
Web, about? Webbed feet.
All
webbed
right,
feet.
We got
webbed
it. Foot
feet.
Fetish.
Webbed
foot fetish.
Feet is today's word of the week.
Because that can also be a play on Halloween,
words.
Because
yes.
of webs everywhere.
Yes.
So webbed
feet. Okay, good.
Webbed feet is today's word of the week. That will give you exponentially increased chance. Uh-oh.
Oh, Frozen's trying to type it in right now. It's really hard. It's I know Frozen.
B-R-E. Oh, okay.
When your duck gets afraid, is he like a deer in headlights, or does he get frozen?
Or does he attack?
He's never afraid. He's never afraid. But you know what? We need to dial it down a little bit in terms of the scares. We want to get a little bit romantic right now.
Mm. Let's stay over there, Joseph.
I'm very happy about this segment.
We're happy.
Mm. Let's talk a little bit about the best of me.
Yay.
Well, I think you're pretty good. I don't know what's better than the other parts, but you are a great producer.
Just keep your segment in that room.
That's why he's behind the glass, by the way.
Well, James Marsden and Michelle Monaghan play former high school sweethearts who find themselves reunited after 20 years apart when they return to their small town for the funeral of a beloved friend. Their bittersweet reunion reignites the love they've never forgotten, but soon they discover the forces that drove them apart live on, posing even more serious threats today. This is based on a Nicholas Sparks novel. This is the ninth movie based on a Nicholas Sparks novel. Of course, we were talking about The Notebook earlier, which is...
He wrote The Notebook.
Yes.
Wow.
What's that?
He wrote it in a notebook.
Yes, he did.
I really like The Notebook. Some of the other books that have transferred to film I haven't cared for. I have not seen this movie. I want to see this movie because I thought the trailer was excellent.
Well,
and I'm hoping it's going to get a thumbs up.
Well...
We'll find out.
My husband has seen it without me.
Oh, Dave, how could you?
He's had to see it.
Did you go by yourself?
Yeah, I blame Joseph. He said, you got to see these movies.
Well, I escorted him in and escorted him out because I was with him telephonically, but just not during the movie.
Well,
then I changed seats.
Well, you should turn on your Skype on your phone and he could hold it up to the screen and you can watch it.
I think he would get in trouble.
Yeah, we don't recommend
that. By the way, I got two free passes to AMC.
Woohoo! How'd you do that?
It's interesting what a complaint can do. Okay.
Oh, no, you had to complain. We love AMC.
We do love AMC. We like it.
What was the dine-in
movie.
The dine-in, the AMC dine-in.
Very much like
it. What happened?
Well, should I tell you?
Yeah, I want to know.
Okay, basically, you know the little light when you want food and stuff and service?
There's I've never been to a
theater. Yeah, you just press a button.
My light didn't work. It didn't go on. So I had to flag down the waitress, and I said, oh, my light doesn't work. She goes, okay, so then what do you want? So I ordered, and then she never came back because my light didn't work. And this is a 2-hour and 15-minute movie. It was Fury. And so
and you were,
it wasn't, you know, I didn't want to get so upset, so I wasn't. But I did talk to the manager, very nice guy. And he goes, oh, yeah, I heard about that. That's on me. I'm sorry. I should have helped her. Here's 2 free passes.
So you were waiting for dinner and they never
Well, no,
it?
I did get the dinner, but, you know, you can
Normally
get.
Normally they check back with you.
I mean, they charge
$4.25
for a Diet Coke,
right,
so you got to
so
get a
refills.
Few of them.
Yikes. Yeah, you get refills and, you know, just to make sure you've got everything.
I only had one popcorn.
Wait a minute. Do you get free refills with that?
Yeah, photo? The popcorn. Popcorn too. So, okay. But anyway, I got a good value. They're good for cinema seats, suites, and we did a sweet deal.
Wow,
very okay. good.
Yes, he was a nice guy, nice manager. I still like the place. So
you're a savvy shopper.
Yes,
I like
well,
AMC
actually,
better than
we have.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we are AMC stub holders, and we do contribute quite a bit to the success of AMC between all of us here at.
But
Drew
I do like
Harkins
Theaters too. Though.
But we do love Harkins, and
yeah,
Harkins. I have to say, this has the best popcorn.
Yum.
Wow.
Okay.
Popcorn.
You
like popcorn?
You want me to review this?
I do like popcorn.
No, well, don't. Okay. Here, I'm gonna tell you one thing.
So
yes. Tell me
it's
one
good.
Thing.
I'm hoping. Fingers
She's
crossed.
She's hoping.
Well, I want to let our listeners know. Do not. If you've not seen the trailer for The Best of Me, do not watch the trailer for Best of Me.
Because okay. they give the best of it apart away.
They. No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they give a very big spoiler. And Dave, do not talk about.
I won't say the
do
spoiler.
Not talk
I
about
won't.
The. There's a couple different.
There's
twists,
a couple huge.
But
twists.
Do not reveal.
No, I agree.
The reason that they were apart. Okay.
And they put them in the trailer.
They put it in the trailer, which is one of the worst possible things. So shame on Relativity Media.
Yeah,
for doing that.
I totally agree with you. I'll tell you if I liked it or not after I read some certain things.
You,
but this transcends worldly matters, I thought. I think it defines love from a multi-perspective point of view. Young love, high school sweethearts, state of selflessness, yet with a bit of control mechanisms, but purpose and unconditional love. This is a movie that if you could see beyond the worldly matters, this will matter to you. I thought it was, from that point, a breakthrough. From that point, the message. I think it. I won't give it a breakthrough on other points. I think there could have been a little bit more to it, perhaps, maybe acting, maybe some other scenes. But I thought the message was fantastic. This is as true as this is as close as true love as you can get. I think. I really thought that, and it was that. You know, it's really interesting. I think it was an emotional film, especially when there's certain twists and turns, like you said, that I'm not going to talk about.
Yes.
And the story was interesting. It was sort of like The Notebook, told from 2 time frames, past and present. And it had me curious about some key items, and I was hoping that it would be significant. And I thought it was significant, the key items, the twists, the turns, mm-hmm. which makes this movie a huge thumbs up.
Oh, I'm so glad that he said that.
He's basically saying thematically it's a breakthrough, cinematically it's a big thumbs up.
Right.
So that sounds either, to me like he can watch it again. So I can go look
I definitely would watch it. It's
Yay!
A very emotional film. Would you agree?
Well,
let me hear your review.
Yeah, you don't know what I thought of it yet, but, you know, you were, when I was trying to convince you to see this movie so we could talk about it, you know, and have like a little discussion or argument, depending on how I thought of it. Rotten Tomatoes, it's gotten horrible reviews.
I know.
I am one of, I think, like 4 or 5 critics on Rotten Tomatoes who actually liked it.
Thank you. Give me Knuckles. Joseph, you are the man.
Thumbs up for The Best of Me. Yeah, it is a remarkably romantic and tremendously touching motion picture. Again, this is a Nicholas Sparks novel that has been brought to the big screen with spectacular beauty, fills viewers with warmth and renewed belief in fate. That is something that I've followed my whole life, fate. I believe in it. 602-252-1480. Even if the end result is painfully bittersweet, and the end result in this movie is very painfully bittersweet.
Wow, you revealed more than me.
Wow,
I'm just saying that it's painfully bittersweet. There's several twists.
But you're
in this
right.
movie.
There's amazing, and it corresponds with
it's, I'm just
out
saying
of this
fate
world
general.
Type
I'm not
of unconditional
what
love.
Happens with their relationship or anything like that. I'm saying that life and fate is bittersweet.
Totally agree.
And
from 2 points of view.
From yes. Yeah.
From okay. Anyway.
And James Marsden. I mean, I thought he's been just a terrific actor. You know, X-Men, he deserves to have been in all the X-Men. He should have been leading the X-Men.
He's very good.
He was 30 Rock.
In Sex Drive as well. He plays a great villain.
Yeah, that was great. I like that movie.
The young actor, young James, was excellent too.
Yeah, he was great. And I don't much care for Michelle Monaghan. I don't think that she did that great.
I ordinarily like her. Yeah. I think that could have been filled with a little bit more emotion.
Okay, all right.
I agree with you, in other words.
And the young version
she
of her,
fantastic.
Liana Liana Liberato. She is gorgeous. She embodies every guy's first flame, doesn't she?
And second flame.
Yes.
And third flame. And the Lana flames.
And you know what?
It's called Forever Flame.
And can't
Oh, yeah, Forever. She's fantastic.
Can't she pull off a backless dress?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was... Yes.
She is excellent and a great upcoming actress.
Yes, yes. She's been in a few movies, but, you know, this one, you know, she's just like, I was
Heads
in love with
tails.
Her right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, again, and then the villain in this movie, Sean Bridgers.
Oh.
The
creepy.
Wow. What a great, great villain he plays. And so I will admit that some of the dialogue is shamelessly cheesy. But again, this is a Nicholas Sparks novel. Romantics of both genders will eat it up. I don't care if you're a guy or if you're a girl, you will love this movie. A word of warning, though, steer clear of the
trailer.
Yes, so don't watch the trailer, but go see this movie regardless of your gender. If you're a guy, you're going to get some really, really big points. If you say, hey, you know what, I want to go see a movie, and the girl's going to say, oh, you probably want to see Fury, huh? See the Best of Me. And you're gonna get
a chick flick.
Brownie points.
I was trying to avoid saying something that would get me bleeped here, but you're gonna have some fun after the movie, probably.
Gonna get some.
Wow.
Yeah,
oh,
you're gonna
man.
Get some.
Uh-huh.
Fair food. We're gonna get some too.
That's not fair.
When does that happen?
In the next hour. But Fury, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt plays a battle-hardened army sergeant who commands a Sherman tank and her five-man crew on a deadly mission behind enemy lines. Outnumbered and outgunned with a rookie soldier played by Logan Lerman, thrust into their platoon, he and his men face overwhelming odds in their heroic attempts to strike at the heart of Nazi Germany. So, yeah, Dave, what'd you think of this one? You saw this one, too.
Well,
right?
I did see this, and I thought it was an interesting film. I happen to like Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt. I like,
oh, like
Pip too. Yeah,
he's a little pippy.
But I thought it was a film that explores really how war impacts people more than they really didn't mention. And everyone knows, obviously, World War II, but it wasn't focused on, you know, good, right, wrong, evil. It just seemed like both sides were out there, and they said it. You know, who can kill the most will win, pretty much. And you, Brad Pitt said that. And it really how it impacts people, from soldiers to citizens to the enemy, whoever the enemy was. And also explores, I thought, very interesting, that not only the outside fighting, but one's inside struggle with ethics in lawlessness land. And it was completely lawless. You could almost do whatever you want, and they did. And but it also had a family point to the crew on the tank, you know, loyalty, leadership. It redefined war, like I said, kill as many as you can. And it seemed like a war without meaning, and often wars are without meaning. Of course, World War II did have a great meaning with what Hitler was doing. So, you know, that's just implied in the film, perhaps. But it, I thought there was some really great scenes of meaning there, great transitions with some of the characters there, how they went from one direction to another, how war can change people, but also not completely change people. Certain ethics were still available there, and certain lawlessness was still there. So I give it a pretty good thumbs up, 2 hours, 15 minutes or whatever, but it went by quick. And I thought it was really quite a good movie. And some of the scenes were fantastic. I mean, the tank scene, the fighting tank scenes were great. And their special effects, fantastic.
Yeah, well, you know, when Fury is not boring viewers with static scenes in which its stars are arguing with one another or philosophizing about nonsense, it's disgusting them with shockingly graphic gore.
There was graphic gore.
This, you know, it took me a really...
It's war.
I know, but it took me a really, really long time to get into Fury, but I eventually did.
You did? Okay.
Yes,
good.
Yes. You know, thanks to some amazing actor with Logan Lerman, Shia mm-hmm. LaBeouf, and John Barenthal giving the best performances. Don't you think that those three were excellent?
Fantastic.
I mean, Brad Pitt, I don't care.
I like him, but those supporting cast members, yes. Excellent.
Especially, I mean, Logan Lerman, he got the VIP award here. And then Shia LaBeouf, I mean, for all the craziness that we heard about the behind the scenes where he was basically this character, you know, for the entire time he was on
shower.
Set. I know. He didn't shower. He was yelling at people.
Right.
He was, you know, but the thing is, it worked. Whatever he did, it completely worked. And John Barenthal, we don't know him that well yet. You know his face, but he's not like a household name.
Was he the young guy?
No, the young guy was Logan Lerman. Barenthal was the guy who he was kind of mean to the younger guy.
Oh, the meanest one or
the meanest one with the nose and
fantastic
all that, yeah.
Acting, I got to tell you.
Yeah, and so
Greg would have liked it better if it was John Cusack.
Absolutely. But Barenthal's pretty good.
But, you know, the two scenes in this movie that really made a difference for me, the nerve-wracking scene set in an apartment and a harrowing grand finale. You know that apartment scene? Don't reveal it.
I won't.
But there's a scene set in the apartment. So much suspense. Remind me of Inglourious Basterds. Yeah.
Yes. But it also showed leadership, too.
It showed leadership, but so much suspense. And that German girl, she was cute.
She was beautiful.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind playing the piano with her. And and then...
would you be called?
I don't know. The grand finale.
What do you call a piano player?
Wow.
Pianist.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
I know. I didn't want to say it. I don't want to get bleeped. The grand finale.
Why would you get bleeped?
I don't know.
It's a legal term.
You've got a dirty mind.
Yes, you do.
The grand finale.
It's even legal
in
New York.
What is that, like 45 minutes or something?
That was
or an
amazing.
Hour, that grand finale. Wow.
I'm going to mention one scene. I won't spoil it.
Go ahead.
But as part of that, I'll just mention flashlight, and you know what I mean.
Yes, yes.
That was fantastic. It seemed like a mirror image, and I won't say anything more.
Yes, yes.
So make sure when you see this movie, pay attention to that.
Yes, and so again, the movie manages to be precisely the raw, realistic, and upsetting cinematic experience fans of the genre have been hoping for. You're going to leave this movie just kind of like, wow.
Yeah, it was good.
Thumbs up for Fury.
Two thumbs up. We got thumbs up for The Best of Me and thumbs up for Fury. If Brad Pitt fan or not, I think you're going to love that movie. And The Best of Me, like you said, even though it's probably chick flicks, parallels a little bit, at least with the time frame, you know, going past present, like The Notebook. But the guys, you get out there and see it. It's a good movie to see.
I think if the guys out there, if you're in a relationship, you want to impress your lady, then say, hey, let's go and see The Best of Me. And if you're a girl, then go see, you know, say, hey, let's go see Fury. Either way, you're going to make your loved one really happy this weekend.
Are we going to take a break before guests?
Yes, let's take a break. Of course, this is Breakthrough Entertainment's Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare Show. And this is from The Lords of Salem, one of the movies that has been brought to life for The Great American Nightmare. Haunted house out there in Scottsdale. Venus in Furs by Velvet Underground. I'm going to do some gypsy dancing now.
Yeah, he is dancing right now. Looks like a gypsy. He has a Scream 4 t-shirt. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
Scary.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
Thanks for ruining the mood, Dave.
Oh, this is the mood.
Yeah, you're way too happy for this.
I'm so happy.
You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here on Breakthrough.
Oh, yeah, that would have been better.
KPHX 1480.
Nicely done.
I am Joseph J. Erdo.
Yes, you are. And who am
AKA
I?
Dave
Satan.
Isaac.
Who is this?
That is Greg the Satan Isaac.
Who's that? No, Eric Reiner, you
Who
forgot.
Who was that? That was Eric Reiner.
And Trisha.
That wasn't him talking. I hope not.
No.
And Trisha's here. Yes. See, it's a breakthrough. It's Breakthrough Entertainment's Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare Show here on Breakthrough Entertainment. And, that is from The Lords of Salem. That is a theme by John Five and Griffin Boyce. And we heard that theme over and over. This is blasted in our ears.
Indeed.
In the Lords of Nightmare haunted house over at the Great American Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Completely
Lords
dark.
Of Nightmare?
It is
Lords
scary.
Of Salem.
What?
Wasn't it Lords of Salem?
Lords of Salem. I'm sorry.
And the Great American Nightmare.
Yes, Great American Nightmare. Yes.
But he's talking in shorthand.
It's amazing that this song, I mean, they do something with your senses because you can't see and you can't even hear anything because this is just like blasting in your ears. It is scary.
Very.
But you know what? That's not the only thing going on this weekend. There's a movie out called Rudderless. Mm-hmm. And we have on one of the screenwriters with us right now, Casey Twinter. One of the screenwriters, and of course, you co-wrote Rudderless with Jeff Robeson. I want to let our listeners know what the movie's about. And Billy Crudup plays a grieving father in a downward spiral who stumbles across a box of his recently deceased son's demo tapes and lyrics. Shocked by the discovery of this unknown talent, he forms a band with a young musician, played by Anton Yelchin, with the hope of finding some catharsis. Now, we don't want to reveal too much about this movie, but basically there is a tragedy at the son's school. And, the son is one of the casualties here. And so the father is grieving. And, of course, music, as we know on Breakthrough Entertainment, is very cathartic. Very, it just does a lot for us. And so that's what he's trying to do. So tell us a little bit about the inception of this project. Where did this come from?
Well, honestly, I'm a huge, huge audiophile. Love music. That's one part of it. I have some friends that are musicians, and I was a new father at the time. We came up with this idea, and essentially, we had been trying to get scripts off the ground for a long time, and we decided to make a movie similar to the film Once.
Okay.
And so we were like, well, maybe we could get musicians instead of actors and do a little $500,000 film and just do it ourselves. Well, so we started thinking in that realm, and we came up with this idea of a movie about a parent's unconditional love. And what if your child were just an amazing artist, but the world never got to hear their music? And that's where the idea was born. Billy's character discovers this tape of demo or this box of demo tapes, and starts playing his son's music, and people love it. That was the idea, and essentially, the script came out really well, and once we started trying to put it together, agents were reacting, saying, this is bigger than what you're thinking, and ultimately ended up getting into William H. Macy's hands, and he said, hey, I want to direct this thing, and what do you do when one of his stature says that? You say, heck yeah.
Oh, no kidding, no kidding. I know William H. Macy, this is his directorial debut, right?
It is, and I mean, that in and of itself was an honor beyond honors.
Right. Well, and I want our listeners to know what I thought of the film. So I'm going to review it right here while you're on the air. No pressure, but,
fantastic.
Rudderless features a moment of transcendence during which the entire story comes to a complete focus. The rest of the world just slips away. Man, this is so close to a breakthrough. I'm giving Rudderless a thumbs up. It's authentically affecting. It's elevated by a gut-wrenching twist, a stellar soundtrack, and an emotional performance by Billy Crudup that is certain to speak to fathers, sons, and anyone else afflicted with heartache. The soundtrack to this movie is just amazing. Sing Along, if Sing Along is not nominated for an Oscar, that's just a travesty.
Man, if I can get your phone number and just, bring you around with me everywhere I go, that would be fantastic. Thank you for that review.
Well, I want to thank you so much for making this movie, because it is just truly fantastic. It goes a long way to melting hearts, hardened by pain. I mean, such a wonderful movie. It just opened yesterday here in Phoenix, and I really hope people check it out. I mean, Dave, doesn't it look good?
Looks great. I did see the trailer, and I do want to see this. I know it's at Shea 14 in Scottsdale. The first thing I noticed, upbeat music, a great cast, something that seemed really together. The trailer captured, obviously not the whole essence, but it just set the tone that it looked like it would be a fantastic movie, and I'm going to see it this weekend.
I just watched the trailer as you guys were speaking, and it's very emotional. The trailer alone,
yeah, excellent.
And you don't want to talk to too many people about this movie, because there is a lot that goes on. I was even asked to tone down my comments about it, because you want to experience this movie for yourself. So get out there, see Rudderless this weekend, and so again, don't discuss it with too many people until they've seen it. It's a just amazing movie. It sincerely touches your soul. You know, so Casey, what comments did you hear from William H. Macy?
Well, the comments from Bill, the comments from everybody have been really, really great. You know, he was drawn to it because, he was drawn to it because of the music, and then also he's a father as well, and it spoke to him, just like you said. And he felt like gun tragedy, which is how the son dies, is just far too prevalent, and we're not smart enough to get into the whys. So our movie's about the fallout and the love and the hole that it leaves, and then also the way music and things can help fill that hole. And when he saw that in the script, and the music wasn't done at the time he read the script, he all the music is Bill's direction. It was just something he absolutely wanted to be a part of, and he said he knew it from the get-go. And like I said, that, you know, as a writer, there's really not much higher honor than somebody who, you know, has David Mamet on speed dial to like your script.
Yeah, and now you mentioned that the music was William H. Macy's direction, but did you write the lyrics? I mean, whoever did sing along, that is amazing.
No, Simon Stedman and Charlton Pettis, they're two musicians in L.A. They wrote primarily all of the music, and the actors truly perform it. Billy Crudup and Anton Yelchin and Ben Queller all sing. There's a Selena Gomez song on the soundtrack. Soundtrack's wonderful. But Bill knew exactly what he wanted the songs to be, because he was like, there needs to be humor, a little bit of angst in one. He had it. He knew exactly what he wanted. Now, we wrote them in the script what we wanted the tones of the songs to be, but Bill really kind of knew that the music was going to help make or break the story, because ultimately the music is a character. The music is the son, Josh, who passed away. So the collective of the songs had to, you know, had to be a character, and had that be a fully dimensionalized character.
Right. Yeah, I do own the soundtrack, and Wheels on the Bus is a great moment in the movie, but that end, that sing-along at the end of the movie, just wow, just so transcendent. And,
wow. Now, I have not seen the movie yet, but using the music as a character like that, did you or Bill find it difficult to have that voice when you're using various songs from various artists? Did you find it difficult to have that thread, that common thread of the voice of the son?
Yes and no. I will say that the search for the music was exhaustive. And the discussions about what it should be were equally. But it came together very organically, and the conversations were really good. I mean, there was a lot of cussing and discussing like you would any character. And it was definitely a little bit awkward, because ultimately we then had to approach songwriters and then have them capture it. But we had a really clear vision of who the son was. I will tell you this, it was what was harder was getting, when we initially were sending the script out, getting people to understand, you know, they're like, well, we want to see a little bit more of the son on screen, you know, or could we do flashbacks? I mean, I think producers and people in the business had trouble wrapping their brain around a character that's on screen for like a minute, but fully dimensionalized at the end. It was hard to get that off of the page for them. But for Bill and myself and Jeff, you know, we knew we were dialed in.
Well, I think that just shows how well-rounded your creativity is, because all too often people get caught up in the visual aspect of film, and sometimes they forget that extra dimension that the music and the soundtrack really plays, and you have actually humanized that by making that a pivotal character. I think that's phenomenal. We're excited to see it.
I'm looking forward to seeing it as well this weekend. Joseph, you already gave it a thumbs up.
Terrific movie. I sincerely I love it and highly recommend everyone go out and see Rudderless this weekend.
Thanks for having us on. Having me on. Independent films depend on the opening weekend. It's the only way they get to go nationwide. So, you know, we need Phoenix to represent. So our little engine that can keep trucking along.
Well, we'll stay on top of this, no doubt, and have you back. Thank you so much, Casey.
And that is one thing that Phoenix is really good at.
Yes.
We are into the independent filmmakers big time. And so we're going to go ahead and give a big shout out for that. And everybody go out this weekend.
Yes, go see Rudderless this weekend. Shay 14. I believe it's also on video on demand.
Yeah.
And, you know, but one way or another, see Rudderless as soon as you can. So, again, you know, screenwriter Casey Twinter, just terrific movie. I want to thank him again so much for joining us, but also for making such a wonderful movie.
Yes. Excellent. Yes. And are we going to take a quick break right now?
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, and we've got another guest coming up after the break. But this is another song from Lords of Salem, Requiem in D Minor by Mozart.
Mozart. I haven't talked to him in a while.
I know. Where'd he go?
I think he was one of our first guests, wasn't it, a couple years ago?
I think so, yeah.
When you were a youngster.
Right, and he reviewed
back when Dave was about 60.
But he did review the movie Beethoven. Remember about the big dog?
Yeah, but that made him roll over.
Yeah, that was really good. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix. We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
Sugar, I call my baby my sugar. I never may be my sugar.
You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here on KPHX 1480, because brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I am Joseph J. Erdo. Also in studio is Dave Isaac, Greg Isaac, Trisha, and Eric Reinert. And today is Breakthrough Entertainment's Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare Show. And this is from the Lords of Salem, Sugar by Vic Damone. But
his voice is Vic Damone.
Yes. Let me switch mics here, okay?
All right. Great. Well, joining us right now on Breakthrough Entertainment is Alex Ross Perry, writer-director of the new comedy Listen Up, Philip. First of all, Alex, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell our listeners a little bit about the movie. In it, Jason Schwartzman plays an author who, while awaiting the publication of his second novel, feels pushed out of his adopted home city by the constant crowds and noise. A deteriorating relationship with his photographer girlfriend, played by Elizabeth Moss, and his own indifference to promoting the novel. However, when his idol, Jonathan Pryce, offers his isolated summer home as a refuge, he finally gets the peace and quiet to focus on his favorite subject, himself. Alex, the film's got this really distinct audiobook feel to it. There's a narrator, and not just a narrator, but it feels like an audiobook. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you can get away with a lot of, additional information when you are using that device in any way. And kind of, from the very first scene where the narrator says, this is Philip and his ex-girlfriend Mona, they dated throughout a portion of college. Now, otherwise, you have to listen to the characters explain, basically to the audience, what their relationship is to each other, which, as a film viewer, you always know is not the way the characters should be talking. You know that they're just talking so that you, the audience, knows who they are. So I wanted to try to make the whole thing play out so that, you know, the dialogue was totally genuine throughout and that the narrator is the one who sort of brings you up to speed on who these people are and what they're feeling at any given moment. And it was just, you know, something I wanted to play around with since a lot of my favorite films have it.
Okay, all right. You know, tell us, where did Philip and these other characters come from? Are they just figments of your imagination, or is there some truth to them?
You know, I think the three main characters of Philip, I can actually all equally, you know, incorporate little aspects of my personality and, you know, of questions I have and kind of issues I was thinking a lot about at the time that I was writing the movie. And it was kind of a fun exercise to split those sides of myself up into these different characters and kind of see what happens when they're placed in opposition to one another.
Right. Well, Philip in particular is a really difficult character. Do you think that he's likable?
I mean, I don't think that sort of like binary response to a human being, even a fictional one, gives anybody enough credit, you know, to say I like or don't like. I think that people, even fictional, deserve a little bit more consideration than that. It confuses me why we're at a point now where a lot of people are kind of not willing to go far enough with their investment in another human being that they would go any further beyond what they think of them other than I do or don't like them. You know, I think that there's a complexity in Philip as there is in Ike and Ashley that supersedes whether or not people like him or don't like him. And I would hope that the conversation people would have isn't, do I like these people, but, you know, what is it about these people? You know, who are these people, not do I like them? You know, to me, the movie is full of unlikable characters, but they're all these kind of side characters that just pop in and out. Like, you know, Philip's ex-girlfriend who never supported him and doesn't support him still, that's an unlikable character. This girl who, you know, only wants to go out with him because he's successful, that is an unlikable way to act, I think. You know, this other writer who is just lazy and doesn't take his profession very seriously and sits there doing the crossword puzzle when he's supposed to have a meeting, that's an unlikable character. These are all, you know, fairly one-dimensional foils to the much richer and more complex characters that I think there's a lot more to say about than I do or don't like them. I mean, to me, like, if I were to turn on my television and watch a sitcom about, you know, people who are just complacent and they don't speak their minds and they don't question what's happening and they take everything as it is and they think everything is just fine, that to me would be an unlikable character because that is not a very deep or rich or interesting person to spend even 30 minutes of a sitcom with. Whereas if I see a guy like Philip and he's struggling internally, and he's, you know, affecting people around him, and he's making curious decisions, bad decisions, good decisions, weird decisions. This is a character that I like because I want to just sit there and watch him and see what he does, and that's what I, that's my litmus for liking or not liking a fictional character.
Makes sense, all right. And, you know, the role of Philip seemed to fit Jason Schwartzman like a glove. Did you have to do much to get him into character?
No, we got very lucky. I mean, you know, he was the sort of person that we really wanted, and we didn't know if we would possibly even consider ourselves lucky enough to maybe get him, but it just was such a perfect combination of performer and material that, you know, it's hard to tell even if, you know, for some people, if the role was written only for him or only after him and I decided to make a movie together instead of what really happened, which is just that, you know, I never thought we'd be so lucky as to get him, and we got him. So, you know, I think he just responded to the idea of playing somebody like this, which, you know, speaks to the sort of roles that he tends to gravitate towards and the, you know, things he's interested in exploring as an actor, the sort of questions he wants to ask, you know, whenever it's, you know, becomes a fictional character for a few weeks at a time.
Awesome. All right. Did Listen Up Philip teach you anything in particular about yourself?
I mean, this is my third movie, and I'd been to film school, and I learned more on this movie about what the job of a director actually is than I had in anything else I'd done combined, because for this one, I was lucky enough to be working with, you know, incredibly talented actors who taught me not just about how to direct actors, but how to make a movie and how to sort of run a crew. You know, since my previous movies had crews of about five people, and getting to work on something where there's a whole army of resources and all these actors, you know, who have put their trust in somebody who's basically untested. I mean, sure, it's their third movie, but, you know, the other two were made for peanuts with their friends. So to have actors like that put their trust in me really was incredibly humbling and made me just want to do the best job that I possibly could so as to not disrespect that investment of faith that these people, who certainly could be doing anything else with their time, or, you know, if they choose, just take a few weeks off from making movies, if they want to come and make this movie, really, you know, made me feel very motivated to do the best job that I possibly could.
Great. Well, once again, thank you, writer-director Alex Ross Perry, for taking the time to talk with us here on Breakthrough Entertainment. We really look forward to having you on the show again soon, and wish you the best of luck with the release of Listen Up, Philip.
Thanks, man.
I'm going to get back on this other mic now. Yeah, thank you very much to Alex Ross Perry for joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment. Everyone go check out Listen Up, Philip. It opens next weekend, and we'll have our official review of it next weekend on our Halloween special. Of course, today is Breakthrough Entertainment's Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare Show, and this basically concludes our Lords of Salem Hour. This is from the Lords of Salem, All Tomorrow's Parties, a song made very scary by the Lords of Salem. It's by the Velvet Underground. Ends the movie.
Ends the movie?
Yeah.
You mean the movie's end?
Concludes the movie.
That's even better.
And it also concludes this hour, because I'm so excited about this next hour.
You better be hungry.
The Arizona State Fair is here!
With some
Woo!
Food.
Yes.
This is, and if you haven't been there, get out to the fair. It's till November 2nd. And, boy, plenty of time. We'll be right back with a taste test. Arizona State Fair food. We'll be right back.
She turned once more. Sunday's love and cry behind the door.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And Joseph J. is in the house. I'm Dave Isaac, Greg Isaac, Trisha, and Eric Reinert.
Bacon is in the house.
And bacon and food. And we are so excited to have two special guests in the studio. We have Assistant Executive Director Christy Walsh. Christy, how are you?
Hello, how are you? I'm hungry.
I'm hungry, too. And we have Ryan Katz, Creative Specialist for the State Fair. Ryan, how you doing? Wow. Wait, you could, yeah, you can move on up and... Wow, how tall are you? You're pretty tall, aren't you?
I'm 6'4".
Wow, basketball?
I wish.
Oh, there
we go.
I can't
jump that high, unfortunately.
Yes.
And before we get into the fair, I want to remind everyone you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment's Rob Zombie's Great American Ooh. Nightmare Show. Go out and check that one out out there at Westworld. And that song that brought us into this segment starts off our Devil's Rejects hours. I wish it was hours, because I love the Devil's Rejects. But that was the theme song to Devil's Rejects, Devil's Rejects by Rob Zombie. I love that song.
That is a good song.
Yeah.
But this is so exciting. There's so much food here. The State Fair is awesome. I encourage everyone to go there. Christy, why don't you tell the audience the hours and what they can expect at the State
Fair? Well, weekends we open at 10 a.m. Weekdays we open at 12 noon. We run through November 2nd, and we're open Wednesdays through Sundays.
Wow.
So the weather has just turned beautiful.
Nice weather.
So it cannot be a better time to come out to the fair.
And you have some good talent tonight, for example.
Oh, yeah. We've got John Fogerty
Excellent.
Tonight. Oh, yeah. The lineup this year is really phenomenal. Fifth Harmonies on Sunday.
Wow.
We've got Bare Naked Ladies coming up. So.
Joseph's favorite, by the way.
It's all of our
Again,
favorites.
Not the same one, kind.
Oh, what are they?
The other Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, I don't know who's so. I just
different,
know naked.
Different kind. Those are not at the fair. Yeah. Let me assure you.
He likes the literal, not the musical.
Oh, it's
right.
a musical. Okay.
Right.
Wow, so that's exciting. And it's open till what time at night?
You know what? It varies depending how busy it is. You know, if guests are out there having fun, we want to let them.
Wow, that's very flexible, very cool.
Yeah, we try to be very flexible.
And you know what's impressive?
What?
That you have done this 17 years.
Yeah.
You look so young. You must have started really young. How do you do that?
Thank you so much. Good beauty products.
Very, very good.
And fair food. It's good for your skin.
Nope. Well, you rub it on your skin?
Well, it ends up all over your skin.
That's right. Why don't we describe what we have and see who's daring to eat what's called the chocolate scorpion, I believe, and alligator bites.
Yeah. Well, we'll start. We've got a great stand at the fair. It's all about bacon.
It's
the rage.
Bacon's good.
Yeah. So we have cheesy bacon bombs, which is jack cheese wrapped in biscuit dough and bacon deep fried. Those are delicious.
Yes.
We also have beer battered bacon wrapped turkey leg. It's the size of your head. You literally have two sticks that you hold it with. It's so huge.
But what if you have an eagle the size of two heads? No, I'm just
Then you might need to get two.
Yeah. That looks delicious. I gotta say, everyone turn away. I want to take that.
Yeah. Okay. We have deep fried watermelon, which is really, it's light and it's refreshing.
And you have a little raspberry and powder on it
or
something?
Cherry sauce and some things. And we also have deep fried pineapple from Cardinelli Pizza. So it's a great... It's a great food. We also have bacon wrapped corn dog, deep fried.
That's probably good too.
Totally good.
That looks like it's foot long at least.
It's huge. Everything at the fair is bigger than life. We also have a bacon wrapped deep fried churro with Jack Daniels.
Yum.
So Jack that's really Daniels. Good.
That's right. I heard about the drunken churro.
Yeah, it is a drunken churro. It's so good. It's very sweet, very rich. You're going to want to split it and share it with friends. We also have alligator bites.
Yes.
So it's alligator deep fried.
And a scorpion deal.
And a chocolate covered scorpion. Always a fan favorite.
Yeah.
Unique to Arizona, I'd say.
Do you have to eat it quick before it stings you? Or what?
The stinger's removed. It's food
is.
Grade, yeah.
What is food grade? You were explaining off the air a little bit. Is it you grow it yourself? I mean, you raise them yourself or something?
Yeah, basically means you can't pick one up off the road, chop off its stinger and eat it. It's not recommended.
No.
They farm raise them.
They farm
for
raise
food
them.
Products.
That's
so you've seen the lollipops with scorpions in them. It's like that.
Really?
Yeah.
And you can eat that
and the
stuff?
Lollipops, the lollipops with the worms in them. The tequila with the worms.
Oh, I've heard the tequila. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So it's just clean. They, you know, you're staying disease. Free, if you will, and
so that's
like
sort
that,
of cool. So. Is that a delicacy in certain parts
Arizona?
I think at the Arizona State Fair,
it's
a delicacy. It's great to challenge your friends, video it, and put it on Facebook.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. You've heard of the what was it? The ice challenge. This will be the scorpion challenge. You know?
I think it's important to note that if you aren't as daring, there are plenty of other options out there at the fair as well.
There's
I have great memories of Indian fry bread every time I went to the Arizona State Fair.
That's
when I was young.
Right. And the Texas donut.
Yeah, big as your head. Oh, of course.
That's a maple syrup, bacon, and a big donut.
Well, we have that, too. The Texas donut's a regular glazed donut, big as your head.
Oh, wow, unless you have an eagle. I said that joke already.
And then they have some of those with cherry icing that also have pop rocks on the top of it,
which is
kind of an explosive experience in your mouth.
That's true, and it's retro
1983. Really?
I'm an 80s girl.
Me too. Yeah, there's so many great, wacky fair foods. I mean, the fair industry really created deep fried on a stick, so you could walk around
that
and see
so
stuff
cool.
and eat, you know, look like a caveman.
Is that when you market this, I'm sure you're part of the marketing effort, is that what you market is the food or the rides or the whole experience?
You know, there's literally something for everyone at the state fair. So there are a lot of foodies, and we're starting to become known for our food. Minnesota State Fair is all about the food.
Is that right?
That's all you hear about. Our fair food is one of the top three reasons why people come.
Is that right? That's
so
cool.
How the mini apple pie came out?
Spelled
like Minneapolis because there's this like kind of like little feud going on.
Exactly. And they are at our state fair, and the deep fried pumpkin pie is so good.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Oh, yeah. And it's seasonal.
And this year, pumpkin pie is everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking a couple weeks ago. There's pumpkin pie cereal, pumpkin pie
and donuts
gum.
Too.
Yep.
You know,
so
gum.
Spice
latte.
Yep, exactly. Pumpkin's great. The apple pie is good. Pecan pie also. So it's a really great stand. So, yeah, we're totally trying to let our vendors innovate as much as possible because of things like this. People love to try wacky, weird stuff once a year.
Are there new foods coming out every year?
Yeah, absolutely.
And next year, any surprises, you think?
They are working on some things, and they will not share that information until next year.
Now, I don't see here, we were talking about earlier, the deep-fried Twinkie with the hot dog inside of it.
The turducken of Twinkie
desserts,
dogs.
Yeah, or whatever. There's
also a pickle dog, where it's a hollowed-out pickle with a dog in there.
How is that?
I have not tried that. I don't like pickles, so not really my thing.
Is it like a dill pickle?
It's one of the big giant
pickles. Oh, one of those big pickles.
Yeah, it's a large pickle hollowed out. And the only critique I heard in the negative about it, they said it really tastes like a hot dog with pickles on, you know, with pickle relish, but then you've got the deep frying of it. They just said if the dog had been a little bit thicker.
Okay.
But then they also, the same person said that the maple donut bacon cheeseburger needed to have double the burger inside to
and it
offset
doesn't need
the
that.
Sweet.
Oh.
So maybe they're just kind of a saucy little person, you know?
Yeah.
savory going on.
Well, we're
going
to say it's good. Okay. Because I love pickles. I think I'd like that one.
Yeah, you probably would.
It's all personal preference.
Absolutely.
But there's some, like you said, there's something for everyone. Most people probably like everything. Anyway, so, you know, it's definitely worth getting out there. So who's going to be daring?
I also am really excited to kind of go Hawaiian style here because we've got the luau of fried foods. We've got the fried watermelon and the fried pineapple. So I'm excited about those for my sweet to go with my savory. And right now, there's three of us fighting over that chocolate scorpion. So it's going to be very interesting. If you're not listening, you're going to have to go on Break Radio to see photos.
Oh, yeah. Should I take pictures?
Take pictures. Okay. Someone's going to take pictures. So I'm saying, Eric, we need a webcam in here.
All right. I'll take some pictures.
But no, we took a lot of pictures. We'll be putting it on Facebook. And I think we should not right this second, but we'll take a break before we just start trying the food so that there's a little more suspense there. Right, Ryan Seacrest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not Ryan Seacrest. What are you talking about?
Well, all right.
Okay.
Before we get to that, I also want to get to the rides because I know the fair is a family event. There's a lot of rides out there. I mean, I remember always going down that big slide.
Yep.
And I mean, so tell us about some of the most exciting rides out there this year.
Well, we have a few new rides this year, and one of them, I love it. It's called OMG. And I always tell people it is what it says. It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
It's getting really great reviews. But, you know, eat lightly before the ride.
Ooh. And then load up after.
Load up after because it is crazy.
Can you describe what that right is?
You turn in multiple ways in multiple directions. Oh. It's hard to act it out with my hands.
Worse than the zipper?
I think so. Yeah. Although the zipper's weird for its own special reason. The enclosed area that freaks me out. But
wow.
Yeah, it's great. We've also got, you know, a Pelican Splash, which is a little kid's log flume ride.
Fun.
And a new Galaxy Coaster. So new roller coaster, which is always really fun. But the rides are great. I mean, RCS does a great job with those. Top-notch safety record. And I ride almost all of those rides.
Is that right?
Except the really crazy ones.
What's your favorite?
I like Mach 1.
And what is that?
Mach 1's awesome. You're kind of like sitting on the end of an arm of a giant crane, and your car, there's two on each side of you, you know, two on each side, and then so there's four on each end of the crane. Spins around about 62 miles an hour, I think, and then as you go over the top, the momentum pulls your car up over one, and you go forwards and backwards. And it's really fun because sometimes it feels like you're flying towards the pavement.
And you're a daredevil.
But I don't like to spin.
No?
I'm not a spinny person.
So. Ryan, how about you? Do you like those rides?
I get motion sick, so I try to stay away from them. I do love the Ferris wheel, though, overlooking all the lights. It's beautiful.
Oh, that's sort of cool.
There.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be sort of nice at night or in the daytime.
Yeah, even in the daytime. You can see Phoenix in the distance. And
very cool.
Gorgeous.
Well, and that's the largest traveling Ferris wheel in the Western Hemisphere.
Oh, is that right?
So it's really high. It's beautiful. It's enclosed, so you feel okay. And it's just gorgeous.
Now, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the thing that's like most on my mind right now, are there duck races? Duck
contests? We do,
contests?
We have Great American Duck Races.
Okay.
Where you might get selected to release the duck into the water.
Okay.
Bring
you
your
like
duck.
To touch ducks.
I've got a pet duck.
He does.
I'm asking.
He's not kidding.
I don't think you can bring your own.
No, okay.
No, but
they
sorry,
have to be
frozen.
Food grade.
We'll have to think about that for next year.
He trains all year.
Is he training?
Yeah, he's training.
We'll have to hook you guys up. You can have a competition.
Yeah.
Wow.
That'd be great.
That is too funny. Now, Christy and Ryan, let me know. I'll put you on the spot. First, Christy, what's your favorite food at the fair?
I think my favorite food at the state fair...
Bacon-wrapped duck.
No, not bacon-wrapped duck. I would say it's kind of under the radar. It's kind of quiet. You don't hear about it. But I do love the deep-fried Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Oh, nice.
Bacon-wrapped
or not bacon-wrapped, either way, super delicious because it just gets gooey and yummy and just mushes in there, and it's
melts
so
in your
good.
Mouth somewhat.
So, yeah, exactly. It's so good.
Melts
you
in
weren't
the fryer.
Here earlier, but that was number one on my list.
Oh, he loves it's that. So good.
Nice. And Ryan, think, your favorite food?
My favorite was probably the bacon battered corn dog.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Absolutely delicious, a little sweet and savory. I usually put mustard on my corn dogs, but this one doesn't even need it at all.
It doesn't.
Yeah, it's just nice and salty, and it's absolutely delicious.
Wow. Now, every day, I mean, I guess you're there when the fair is open, both of you, obviously. So, what do you eat the most of? Your favorites, or do you every day eat fair food?
No. If you work there, we're 18 days. If we ate fair food every
that would be
day,
a lot.
18 days, it's kind of rough on your stomach.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fair is a great time to splurge once a year, twice a year.
Yeah.
So I hit up the kettle corn because
that's
a little
too,
lighter.
Though.
And I love popcorn, so it's a little healthier.
But I bet you're both really busy, though.
Yeah, we're running around non-stop. Like chickens with our heads cut off most of the time. But
from opening day to closing night.
But that's why we can occasionally eat cheesy bacon bombs, and it doesn't show.
Yeah, see, that's sort of cool. I do want to make one observation. Ryan sounds like Eric, and Eric sounds like Ryan.
Really?
Right? Say that again, Eric. Say really.
Really.
See?
Oh, well. Nah, I don't think so.
Twins.
I don't know. We could interchange them.
There you go.
Well, I think that, you know, anything you consume during October through December, it doesn't add to anything.
That's
right?
True.
Yeah, that's true.
So
it's
like
a perfect
three
time.
Months, we're just going to, And then once also in February, on February 14th. I don't know why, but that's just...
Yeah, what is that, February 14th?
I don't know. But you can eat anything. It doesn't matter.
I don't know that date.
But you know, we're going to eat anything, and it's not going to matter either. But after the break, we're going to do our big taste test.
Oh, nice.
But before that, here is from the Devil's Rejects, Midnight Rider. It's a song that brought us into the Devil's Rejects. Right, Midnight Rider, Greg. Yep, by the Allman Brothers Band again from Devil's Rejects.
I remember that. And when we come back, it will be the taste test from the State Fair. We got fair food. I would say excellent food from the fair. And we'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
Wash away my troubles, wash away my anger, with the rain and shine.
And you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here on KPHX 1480, right here in Phoenix on KPHX 1480 AM, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I'm all excited, so I don't know what I'm talking about, but of course the Arizona State Fair is here, but of course as also our Breakthrough Entertainment's Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare Show. This is from the Devil's Rejects, Shambhala by Three Dog Night. And of course Greg and I know that as the scene when during Captain Spaulding's nightmare in the beginning of the movie. Shambhala.
And I know this because Three Dog Night was at one of my clients' private parties about 3 years ago. And we went to see them in concert at a private party. They were 68, 69, 70. They sound fantastic.
Yeah.
Three Dog Night, and that was one of their better songs, I believe.
Sounds fantastic and smells fantastic in
what,
here.
What, Three Dog Night?
No.
Oh.
We don't have any of that in here. We have everything else, though.
Exactly. And we do have Assistant Executive Director Christy Walsh from Arizona State Fair, as well as Creative Specialist Ryan Katz. And they brought in this great food, fan favorites, fair favorites, you call it, you name it. And who's going to try what first?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is I'm going to call this segment Dieters Rejects.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Good one.
I like that. Okay, so who wants to do the play-by-play? Christy, you want to... well, let's start... What do you want to start with?
Well, I know that she was really interested in this deep-fried pineapple and deep-fried watermelon from Cardinelli's stand.
Nice.
They are known for being very... It's refreshing and light and very delicious.
And here she goes. She's picking up... Which
one? Do
you
want my cherry, baby?
Yo, that's... yes.
Really?
Oh, it is there. Okay.
It is a cherry.
Yeah. Wasn't sure. Okay.
Now, here we go. Are we sharing germs?
Sure, why not? Here we go. You
and
had me
she's
at
taking
cherry.
A bite out of it, and
it's a big bite.
That's a big. Oh, there's none left for anyone else.
Juicy.
Wow.
Oh, it's so juicy.
Is that the watermelon?
Yes.
Okay. Mm.
And what's it drizzled with?
I think it's a cherry sauce.
Cherry sauce. Okay.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting that I didn't expect?
Yeah.
The watermelon is cool and juicy.
Yes. Yeah, and I don't know how they do that, but that's what people like about it. It's still cool and light and refreshing.
Who's next?
Who's next? Am I next?
Next.
I'll try it.
Corners too. So
yeah, there's corners.
Off of mine and
yeah, go ahead and do that, and I'm gonna.
Okay.
I'm gonna pull off a piece of the pineapple here.
Ooh, here we go.
If it's possible.
I don't know if you can.
All right, so take over the play-by-play. Who's gonna take over?
All right, so
here we go.
He's gonna start eating the deep-fried pineapple.
Here I go.
Here you go. Oh, it looks
big
like
bite,
a donut.
Big bite. Come on.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
bigger
there
than
you
that.
Go. That
How
was
it?
I respect
juicy.
That.
All right. I'm going to try the watermelon. Here we go.
Back to the watermelon.
Deep bite. Mm. You got it all over yourself.
Yeah.
It's dripping everywhere.
Dave, you're bleeding.
Yeah. My blood.
Oh, my God. That is really good, though.
Yeah, and it's still juicy.
That is. It is very juicy and very light. I could see how people could really eat that for dessert.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, or
it's
just
relatively
as
healthy.
Yeah. Oh, and this is pineapple.
And I just had
the
pineapple, and it is very juicy.
Here we go.
And delicious,
oh, you want to go? And Greg is now trying the deep fried watermelon. He's eating it.
He's eating
he doesn't get it all over him like I do.
Did he eat the rind?
But it is all over his
that
mustache.
That's a well orchestrated bite.
That's very good. How'd you learn that? Okay, here we go. I'm going for the pineapple. Oh, that's...
Yeah, that's pretty good. You want to grab that from some...
That is...
I'm going to take a bite out of the other part, half of the rind.
That is tasty.
If there's any left.
Wow.
Both excellent.
Okay, so deep fried fruit is working out for you.
Yeah, I definitely like the deep fried. Do you have other fruits that are deep fried?
I'm sure we do.
Yeah.
Not off the top of my head, but I'm sure we do.
But those are two very good ones.
Yes.
And what stand is that at? Where?
That's at Cardinelli's stand.
Cardinelli's.
Yeah,
Cardinelli's.
Just south of the grandstand. Yep.
I like both of them. Very, very top choices. The watermelon would probably be get the edge.
Yeah.
So. How about you?
I think I like the pineapple, but, you know, I really love pineapple upside-down cakes.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
You know, kind of tastes like a nice
Did Greg
fried...
try the watermelon?
Yeah, I tried the watermelon.
You liked it?
He didn't get the pineapple, though, if you want.
Oh, and Trisha's eating the watermelon. Okay.
He's going to look at some of the other stuff. So
Next, we have, what is that called?
I would recommend the cheesy bacon bombs.
Cheesy bacon bombs. And this
they're
all
so
these
good.
At the same time. You know, so we're not
okay.
So good.
Now, this is bacon wrap over some type of dough.
So there's jack cheese in a biscuit dough wrapped in bacon and deep fried.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, are you going to partake with us?
Might
those
as well.
Are good.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
yeah.
I actually have not tried these yet.
Hey, we got to get Eric involved.
Christy said
Christy
that's her favorite.
I'll try one.
Yeah, let's...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, here we go.
He has one.
Oh, yeah. And we'll all try it. And you got one, the bacon wrap. Oh, you like that, huh? That's one of your favorites.
Oh, I love these.
Those are very... Okay.
Breakfast.
On your mark. Oh, you eat it for breakfast? Get set.
Oh, yeah.
And go.
Oh, wow.
You hear everyone munching?
Mmm. Oh,
see, this
wow.
is the one time you can eat on the air, Eric. And it's okay.
This
I do every
is
day.
Fantastic.
Every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, the crispy crunch of the bacon with the salt, mm-hmm. the cheese, mm-hmm. makes this as a most unusual flavor, but excellent.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It hits the spot.
It's really good.
Wow, that look at that. Favorite. I did spill all over
it. You powdered sugar everywhere.
They're going to say, did you go to the fair today, Dave? And you're going to, no, the fair came to me.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what we try to do
here. I could see why you like this for breakfast.
It's really good.
Yeah, this is excellent.
and hearty.
And where is this from? I'm sorry.
That is from Bacon Affair, just Bacon west Fair. Of the Coliseum. You can't miss it.
Yeah. Mm. Big green.
Bacon everything.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Oh, really?
Yeah. Everything there has bacon. It's
wow.
Great.
Everything that's bacon on here is from there.
Yep.
Wow. The turkey leg, too?
Yep.
Yep. Beer battered bacon wrapped turkey leg.
Wow.
There's like a jalapeno bite to that thing, isn't there?
Yeah. There's actually a jalapeno bite right here.
No, I mean, I tasted like something spicy in it.
Yeah. Oh. Spicy in there, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's a jack cheese kind of
that
thing.
That might be why.
So, yeah.
Really jack cheese is spicy.
This is excellent. Again, we're here with...
Maybe it's pepper jack. Maybe I mixed up what kind of jack.
Pepper jacks in there.
Yeah, I think so.
Could
yeah.
Be.
And for any new listeners that just tuned in, we're here with Assistant Executive Director from the Arizona State Fair, Christy Walsh, and Creative Specialist Ryan Katz. We're having a taste test. We just ate some deep-fried watermelon and pineapple, and what's it called again, deep-fried cheesy bites?
Oh, cheesy bacon bombs.
Bacon bombs,
yeah,
and they're good.
Yeah, because they're the bomb.
They are the bomb.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Let's see, what do we have next?
An explosion of flavor in your mouth.
Well, it depends. I didn't know if you wanted to jump to dessert or still finish kind of the savory items.
They go to dessert, I'll take the turkey leg. No, I'm kidding.
You really want that turkey leg.
We have alligator bites as well.
All right, let's see you guys.
Who's doing the alligator bites?
Right,
you
someone's
will do the alligator
try this.
Bites.
I can do it. I can try it.
All right, you guys do the alligator bites.
Eric? Alligator
bites? No,
we're
I'm
going
good,
for
thanks.
Alligator bites.
I think I've had my quota of fried food for the week.
All right, here we go. And Trish is now reaching for
there's
the sauce.
There's a sauce that you can dip in. Oh, okay.
And what type of sauce is that?
Right, I don't remember.
I think this looks like it might be a barbecue ranch.
Oh, barbecue ranch. Okay. And Joseph and Trisha and Greg are trying the alligator bites. They're pulling out the teeth right now. No, I'm kidding. There's no teeth. They look like McNuggets or something, or chicken nuggets.
Are you going to take a picture?
All right, we're
going to
take a picture, and here we go. Wait, no, one more. Oh, no, I have my finger in the way. Okay.
There
we go.
Chomping at the bit to try these.
And there we go. And okay, so
tastes like chicken.
Yeah, right.
So it's good. Is that like the feet of the alligator? Or?
I don't know what
the
part
shoes.
Of it is. Yeah, it's the good. Edible part. Yeah. Let me put it that way.
Okay, I have to admit this is the second time I've eaten alligator.
Oh, you have.
But this is so much more tender.
Oh, good.
Yeah. In the past, my only complaint was that it was very chewy.
Yeah.
This is
good,
excellent.
Great. Seconds
Greg,
now, huh?
Wow, Greg really likes it. He's going to order from McDonald's alligator bites. Okay.
Me too.
Can't
yummy,
get that
yummy,
in,
yummy,
at McDonald's. And Ryan's going for alligator. How do you like it?
I couldn't stop myself. This is phenomenal.
It is good.
Mm-hmm. It hits the spot.
All right, fine. I'll try it. Is that it right there?
Yes. Yeah.
I almost handed you the sauce.
No, I don't want the sauce. All right. Here we go. Alligator bite.
Oh, wait. I need to get a picture of this.
It's never
going to
happen again.
Yeah.
Okay. He is one of the least adventurous.
I think there was no meat in that bite.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
I told you.
Now it's legit.
Surprise, that's right? Good.
It's legit now.
Yeah. Actually, sorry, I've had an alligator bite.
Did we say where this one was from? I'm sorry.
This one is
Amazon.
From...
a swamp in Florida.
Yeah.
Wells Concessions.
Wells Concessions. Yes.
It's not bad. You're right.
And,
that's really
and
good.
Wells Concessions, that's the one that has a lot of the, like, dare foods, right?
Oh.
Aren't they the ones that
they,
have a lot
they
of
They have
insects?
The scorpion as well.
Ah.
So, yes. Yeah. A very beautiful presentation.
Who eats a rose?
That's a tomato skin, my love.
Yeah. It is?
Yeah.
Oh, so you can eat that, maybe. Maybe
sure.
Not.
It's an edible creation.
It is.
Ah.
It's edible art.
Okay, so should we go for this scorpion, or should we
no,
go
the
for
yes,
scorpion
eat
is,
it.
Is the pièce de résistance. Yes.
Yeah, you got to save
end.
That.
Okay, at then.
Let's do the bacon-wrapped churro. We'll jump into
dessert. Oh, yeah.
So I was told that you have to hold both of them together and dip it in and then take a bite.
Oh, is that
the
how
best
works?
Way to do it. Kind of a banana split type thing. So if you guys, I don't know who's going to be daring enough to do so.
Here we go.
Bacon-wrapped Jack Daniel's churro.
I should break it in.
I can take from the same side as Dave.
Right, there we go.
I'll do the one side of this.
Now, what sauce is that, by the way?
I think it's like syrup.
It's a syrup.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a syrup?
I heard it was like
I
a bourbon.
I think it was made with Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels, but it's a sweet.
Oh,
but the alcohol is out, so it's okay to have your kids if they sneak a bite of this.
Yeah, it cooks out during the process.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very sweet, very rich. Probably want to split an order with your friends and family.
And this is bacon wrapped churro.
Yes.
Yep. Jack Daniel's
with
sauce.
Jack Daniel's sauce.
This might be my favorite so far.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Very I'm not kidding. Is the fair open after our show?
Dave's eyes just lit up. Are you okay? Are you on some sort of like
yeah, this is
fair
so
food
good.
High?
Wow.
Yummy.
Mm, very good.
Winner, winner.
Hear that. Listen to that crunch.
Wow.
Amazing.
It really is.
Yeah.
Good, good selection.
Out, so. No, it's all good.
Yeah, there's a lot to try, for sure. And this is a
Eric,
small
you try
sample
this,
of our new
Jack
food.
Daniel's churro.
So
this
much
is
more.
Just a small sample of our new fair foods.
Incredible.
I mean, we have
and you got
so
more.
Many this year. Yeah.
Well, people got to get out there. And again, it's open all weekend till November 2nd,
yep.
Thursday through...
Wednesdays through
Sunday. Wednesdays through Sunday, yep. That's right.
And there's literally deals every day. So do a little bit of homework, save a ton of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to say. We're really into deals around here, so... Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
On our website, sure. Does it tell you the special deals of
absolutely.
The day?
Absolutely. Yep. AZStateFair.com. We also have a new mobile app this year that you can download. It's 2014 Arizona State Fair, and it's got schedule information, discounts, everything.
So that's a mobile app is
2014 Arizona State Fair.
24.
Just search Arizona State Fair on your app store, and it's the first one that'll pop up.
Yep.
Excellent.
It's great.
You're gonna do it.
It has all the show times. It's really wonderful.
Wow, this
schedule's
is excellent.
Schedule's an excellent guide for being on the fairgrounds to help navigate.
Mm-hmm. You know, and to me, the State Fair should bring the community together. So mm-hmm. there's another reason to go, just to bring Arizona closer mm-hmm. and enjoy this amazing food, the rides, the talent, the mm-hmm. shows. I mean, everything, and it's so easily accessible. I mean, right off the 10, right?
Yeah. And you know what? It's our 130th year. We were actually a fair before Arizona was a state.
Really?
Yeah, we were a territorial fair.
Was Barry Goldwater the first governor? No, I'm kidding.
Teasing. I heard that this fair, out of all the 50 states, this is the third largest state fair in attendance, and yet it's on the smallest amount of acreage.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
It really is. That shows...
Out of 50 states, Phoenix, we got the best. And for the food, we're number one and two with Minneapolis.
And we have Christy and Ryan.
Yes, that's right.
They are good people.
Christy and Katz. I kind of like Christy and Katz.
Fantastic.
How about that bacon-wrapped corn dog?
All right. Let's go for the corn
ladies
dog.
First.
That looks very sinful.
Yes, it does.
With bacon? Okay. Eat the bacon.
Nice and slow.
Yeah, don't take a picture of that.
Eric, buy it out of the sight of it.
Yeah. Eric, just don't bring cameras in ever.
No webcam.
She's going for it.
And how is it? Oh, you're still eating. Mm-hmm. Oh, bacon on the corn dog. That looks like well done, which is good. And well done. How is it?
It's yummy.
Is there mustard on it?
No.
Okay.
It's bacon.
Then I'll try it. Here we go now, ladies.
You don't like
and
mustard,
gentlemen.
Dave?
No. Wow, this looks really good. Here we go.
That's odd.
Wow. That's good.
Oh, that is good. Wow.
And that is... I won't say it.
Yeah, don't. Okay. Go to your room. All right. Now.
That's pretty good, huh? Mm-hmm.
That is very delicious, too. Mm-hmm. I got to say.
What I was going to say is it's large enough that it's a full meal.
Yes.
It is a full meal. Yeah. You know, I was thinking of that. Yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
Well,
that is incredible, though, the turkey leg. That looks like a double meal.
Yeah. Bacon-wrapped, beer-battered turkey leg.
Wow.
It is caveman style, big as your head, of course.
That's amazing.
You don't have enough hands to carry that thing.
Yeah, it's heavy.
Well, you know, we had turkey legs at the Kentucky Derby, but nothing like this.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that is way bigger, it looks way more delicious, I bet.
I know someone who has turkey legs, too. I don't hang out with her anymore.
No.
But we try.
So what do we have? Anything over there we should try before the turkey leg?
We have the
what
bacon
are those?
Wrapped
there
jalapenos.
We go.
Oh, yeah.
Bacon
try that.
Bacon wrapped jalapenos. Yep.
Seems like there's enough for everybody.
A little spicy, a little salty. Should be.
Yeah, you can have that. I'm going to pass on the jalapenos because I'm not a jalapeno person.
No jalapenos? You don't like jalapenos?
But I'll watch you.
You'll watch me.
Oh, should I take
you
a picture?
Her?
Okay, here we go
now.
I
love jalapenos.
Oh, you do?
You ready?
Yeah, go. All right.
You're going to take
jalapeno
a selfie?
Jalapeno heat in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh.
Bam.
Wait, here we go.
Wow.
Oh, so they like it.
It's
a jalapeno popper. Yes. Bacon wrapped jalapeno popper with cream cheese.
There's some cream cheese in there. Keep talking.
Okay. Here we go. Cream cheese.
We get good. We're good.
All right. Yum. Greg, you want some?
This one? Is this from the Bacon and
Bacon Affair as well? Wow. Yes.
They are. That's a good vendor there.
About bacon.
But you know what's interesting is the jalapeno is not super fiery.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not.
And something about the deep frying and the breading maybe kind of decreases it.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of cool.
Excellent.
It's mouth friendly.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's not that spicy. I mean, so that's pretty impressive.
I don't know. I'm burning up from here, but no, I'm just kidding.
It's got the flavor of the jalapeno.
Yeah, but not the fire.
Yeah, not the fire.
Right.
Which makes it mouth friendly, like you said.
Exactly.
I like that. That's very good. Okay, Greg, did you have some? Okay. He's saving it for that scorpion thing over there. Okay. Oh, wow, Joseph, you really like that.
With the town. They both did.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. It's like, okay, we can wait. All right. Now, what's next? Anything over there or is just the turkey leg?
The turkey
I think
leg?
We can get everything except the turkey leg and the pièce de la résistance, the chocolate scorpion.
Oh, wow.
He speaks French, too. Isn't that
pretty good? Oui, je parle français.
Oh, really? A tu déjeuner ce matin?
Ce matin?
Yeah.
Ou demain?
Oh, you do.
Demain?
Oui.
Okay, d'accord.
All right, we'll be back. All right. The turkey leg,
is that the only thing that Dave knows how to say?
Yeah. Should I be hitting the dump button?
The only thing I know how to say in French is parlez-vous anglais?
It's always worked. Okay.
We're having complaints from our French listeners.
Yeah.
602.
Yeah. All right, so we try the turkey leg.
Sure.
That looks like we'll need a crane to lift this up.
Yeah, it weighs about 1,000 pounds.
Oh, wow. Are you going to take the first?
Really.
Okay. Oh, darn it. I wanted the first fight. Okay, here we go.
You guys are fighting over it.
Wait. We're curling.
You need a crane to lift that thing.
Work out with it.
All right, here we go. Oh, my gosh. This is huge.
Good luck with that.
I know. Have you tried? You've tried this?
Yeah, it's delicious.
Wow. Where do I start, you think?
It's difficult. You have to work your way in.
Really?
Yeah, just go for it.
Okay, I'm going to work my way in on this one. This is a turkey leg. Bacon-wrapped turkey leg. Beer battered.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go.
It's an alliteration.
It looks like sausage.
How caveman-esque of you.
Yes.
Wow.
Food good.
This is really amazing.
The other half's on his shirt.
Watch this. I'm going to do it again.
That's a protein extravaganza right there.
And this is from the Bacon Affair again.
Yes.
That is fantastic.
Sounds like the Bacon Affair is the place to be.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
You can just bacon your way through the fair.
I just pulled that thing apart.
Hold on.
That truly is phenomenal.
It's great.
I mean, turkey legs by themselves are great, but when you add the beer batter and the bacon,
thank you, this
makes it even more phenomenal. And here goes Joseph.
Yeah, that is amazing.
This turkey leg's bigger than Joseph. Yeah. Turkey legs biting into Joseph.
Bigger than his biceps.
Wow.
I don't know if I got any.
You did. Yeah, I want more. Okay.
Yeah.
And Trisha's going to try it. Oh, we should have Eric try it, too. Oh,
yeah. I'm good, thanks.
I taste the beer in that. That's good.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Here, take a picture.
It's a new game called Pass the Turkey Leg.
Yeah. All right, here you go. And Trisha's going to... Oh, nicely done.
Oh, wow.
All right.
And this is what people do all day long at the fair. They take pictures of their friends eating these things.
They do.
They put them up on Facebook.
They do. It's really funny.
What's the best hashtag?
That for us?
Yes.
AZ State Fair.
AZ State Fair.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is what we do all day on the radio show. Okay. That is really phenomenal.
It's coming back around to you.
It's
so,
really good.
I mean, that is just so amazing. I should go one more bite or later?
Whatever you want.
We'll do it later, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wow.
In all honesty, for me,
mm-hmm.
the alligator beats the turkey leg.
So you like the alligator.
Ooh. I agree.
I would go turkey legs first, and I like that corn dog.
Ah, okay.
The bacon-wrapped corn dog.
I like the corn dog, too, but yeah.
And the alligator, very good. Actually, all of it is
phenomenal.
And the
cheesy bacon bombs.
Come on, somebody eat that scorpion. Oh, yeah.
Drunken churros.
Who's our victim? Who's
gonna
eat? Would love to eat a bug right now.
Is that okay with you guys?
I think you guys
You're going to eat it?
He's going to do it.
If you want to split.
Yeah, we'll like split. Half
yeah,
if
you want. Yeah, I guess you could split it. You can have
all right, Greg's
going to. Okay, great. Okay. Wait, before you do this, we're going to do a play-by-play. Greg and Joseph are splitting the chocolate scorpion. Greg's going to eat the upper half. Joseph is going to eat the lower half. We're taking pictures now as Greg
Girl
holds
602-252.
Yeah. And there's a...
Anyhow,
either hat, whatever.
Take the legs.
Lift it by the tail is yeah. usually how people do it.
I'll eat the tail.
You'll eat the tail?
Sure.
Okay.
It's still right. moving.
Hey, no, Joseph. Hey, Joseph's going to get some tail.
Hey.
All right, here we go.
Oh, you got the pincher side.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He actually ate it. Everyone, Greg just ate a chocolate-covered scorpion.
He's licking his fingers.
Wow, and he's turning into a bug.
He just threw it all in there.
Oh.
And Joseph is eating the other half of the scorpion.
Like too?
Hey, there's still little scorpion babies
that's
here.
Interesting.
So, well, let's
very different.
Okay, so Greg, how would you describe this particular chocolate-covered scorpion?
It tastes exactly like a chocolate-covered scorpion.
Oh, I didn't know
what
that.
You'd expect.
That was amazing.
Like raisinettes, or
yeah, a little different, but
oh wow,
you know, kind of like that
with a bite to it. Okay,
raisinettes are chewy, not crunchy, baby.
Oh,
it has a little bit of a aftertaste with the chocolate, but a good aftertaste though.
Was it?
I
crunchy?
Recommend it.
Crunchy,
very crunchy.
Oh, it was crunchy.
Absolutely.
So scorpions are crunchy.
They are.
I never
a little
knew that.
Crunchier than the grasshoppers. Yeah.
Oh, better than the grass. How about the snails?
I don't know about that.
Okay, Joseph.
The grasshoppers are kind of like cream filled, though, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Oh. So Joseph, how would you describe this chocolate-covered scorpion?
I don't think I can describe it. I think that I've got to have people go out there to the Arizona State Fair and try it for themselves because it's undescribable.
Dear friends.
It is.
Really?
The gauntlet has been laid. So, Bobby et al., it is time to respond to the challenge.
Okay.
Yes, and it's too bad that I'm not going to a bar crawl tonight because then I could tell all the women, I just ate a chocolate-covered scorpion. Do you want to kiss?
That'll get you a date.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, right?
In fact, no, what you want to say is that you still have it in your mouth. Do you want to kiss?
Ooh.
What?
Didn't you say you want to kiss?
No. Just.
I thought you said that. All right. Now, Ryan and Chrissy, have you ever tried the chocolate-covered scorpion?
Yes.
And how did what was your take on it?
For me, it mostly tasted like chocolate.
Oh.
And it didn't taste like what I would imagine bug to taste like.
Wow.
So it was okay. I would not do the crickets, though. Because
oh, they have crickets?
In my head, their legs will get stuck between my teeth.
Ooh.
And that freaks me out. So
really?
Scorpion, though, it's all good.
You're okay.
Yeah.
Ryan, have you tried it?
I haven't had the opportunity. No one's really dared me to. But I think if someone did, I might. I would try it.
So...
Joseph just dared you, cats.
Oh, no. We don't have another
Ryan.
One.
We call
That's
him Ryan.
That's unfortunate. Oh, maybe next time.
We work there. I'm pretty sure we could
make it happen. I'm sure Christy will talk me into it.
So you also have chocolate-covered crickets at the fair.
We have different kinds of bugs out there.
Really?
Over the years, it kind of started with the scorpions and added more bugs over the
years.
Wow,
really?
Honestly, the scorpion's the coolest one because it's kind of Arizona.
It is Arizona, yeah.
So it's really neat. When we have other fairs ask us, like, well, what's an Arizona food that you guys have?
Yeah, scorpion, of course.
Food might be stretching it, but it is a chocolate-covered scorpion.
So if I go to New York, I'll have a chocolate-covered rat. Okay.
Yeah. Or cockroach.
Or pigeon.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, again, as we close this segment, we want to say, everyone, go out there to the Arizona State Fair. It's going on until November 2nd, and every Wednesday through Sunday, right?
What song,
right.
Joseph? What number are we on?
Number 16.
Yep.
Yes. So go ahead and say it again.
There are special deals available to you if you get the app or 2014, so 2014 AZ State Fair.
That's right. Make sure.
I think my favorite was the alligator bites, surprisingly enough. I mean, it's pretty
my favorite, the bacon beer batter wrapped turkey leg. Greg, your favorite?
I'm with Joseph, the alligator bites.
And Ryan?
Cheesy bacon balls.
Chrissy?
Cheesy bacon balls.
And Tricia?
Ooh, it's really hard because for the protein, the alligator bites, and for the sweets, the drunken churros bacon wrapped.
That was good. And Eric, what did you like best?
Oh, wait, but the watermelon. I love the deep fried watermelon.
Okay, you can't vote twice. Okay.
I only had the cheesy decide. Bacon
You can
bomb.
Vote twice in Florida, but not in Arizona.
The
okay.
Jalapeno. Exactly. The jalapeno is good out of the two things I tasted.
Okay, good, good.
Actually,
all right.
Actually, I want to vote twice, too. The cheesy bacon bomb.
Yeah,
I can't make. We can't make up
overall.
Our mind. That's the thing. You have to vote like 100 times.
It's all good. Yes.
Go there every single day and just try something new every day.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you my least favorite food here.
Okay.
My water.
Okay, good.
There you go. Right.
Excellent.
And this is, of course, The Devil's Rejects, Satan's Gotta Get Along Without Me by Buck Owens. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here on KPHX 1480 AM.
And we'll be right back.
Well, now Satan's gotta get along without me. For I've been Satan's sin forevermore. Satan's gotta get along without me. Cause I'm going to heaven with my Lord. Yeah, now I'm going to heaven with my Lord.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here on KPHX 1480 AM and Phoenix, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network.
We definitely need cameras because I'm watching Dave eat that giant.
I know. Dave's got a giant turkey leg, bacon covered, beer battered turkey leg, and Trisha's got a
bacon wrapped
corn dog halfway down her throat. That's impressive.
It's a heart attack on a bone.
God.
And, you know, it's just, it's amazing. And, of course, before we get too far into this segment, this is Fooled Around and Fell in Love by
and
Elvis
I have
Bishop.
To give a shout out to
by, from Elvin. The from the Devil's Rejects.
It's not Elvis. It's Elvin.
Elvin, I'm sorry. I can't, my paper is too far away from me. There's like
grease
a bunch
marks
of, yes, the grease marks. I can't read it anymore. But, of course, the Devil's Rejects, because this is our Halloween hullabaloo part three. The Breakthrough Entertainment, Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare Show, all in honor of the big haunted attraction out there and at Westworld.
And I've got to give a big shout out to both Greg and Joseph. Great cojones in eating that chocolate covered scorpion.
Yes, there was.
Impressive,
I got more.
Impressive.
You licked all the chocolate off. I just had scorpion.
Uh huh. I gave you the best part.
Well, it was very impressive. I mean, this is absolutely great. Everyone needs to go out there to the Arizona State Fair. Forget any diet that you're on and anything else that you're just worried about. Just go out there and have fun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
now Christy did tell us that tomorrow's the 5K
yes.
at the fair. So a really great idea is you go out, you do the 5K, and then you've all the calories you've burned. You can have a bite of
Dave's going to need a 10K after that.
I know. Dave, where did the turkey leg go?
He is devouring. He is devouring that turkey leg.
It is delicious.
Half of it's on his shirt.
For later.
Wow.
Wow. Well, I wanted to mention a few quick DVDs that we keep trying to get to. We never have time. But Are You Here? That's a new DVD. It was in theaters a few months ago, starring Zach Galifianakis, Amy Poehler, and I forget the other guy's name, Owen Wilson. And
you can remember Galifianakis, but you can't remember Owen Wilson.
Again, it's sort of like
that's
a
because Zach Galifianakis is in every dang thing that's in the theater.
Well, and the thing is, Are You Here? It should have been a comedy. It's more of a drama. And when you think of Amy Poehler, you think drama, don't you? And Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
So
you think Welcome to Sweden.
Right. And, of course, it is Sweden Day. I want to thank my aunt in Illinois.
Sweden Day.
Sweden Day. Isn't it
is
Sweden
it?
Day? It's sweet, yeah, Sweden Day or something.
No.
All right, well, I was...
Sebastian saying absolutely not.
All right, well,
our in-house Swede is nixing that one.
I'm sorry. All right, well, anyway, Are You Here? Out on DVD, a big thumbs down. Not funny, not dramatic, and nothing. Space Station 76 is kind of a science fiction movie, but it's set in the 1970s. Pretty good cast in this one as well, Space Station 76. It's not that great. You want to look up the cast? I watched these a while back, and that's why my mind is blanking. I'm sorry.
Got caught in the gravity pool.
Yes, I know.
Dave, does that have chopsticks in it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't use chopsticks.
It needs it to clearly hold, by it his needs hands it to right hold now. All the bacon and the beer it's
like
batter.
Batter. It's like a whole 5 pounds.
But there's still half of it left, so you could come and partake of the other side, thanks. There, Eric.
Jerry O'Connell, Patrick Wilson, Liv Tyler. So yeah, pretty good.
Pretty
cast.
Good cast.
Yeah.
But again, the movie is absolutely horrible, almost intolerable to get through. Space Station 76. Big thumbs down. Do not waste your time or money. And then School Dance. Look up that one.
School of Dance?
No, not School of Dance. Just School Dance.
School Dance.
Now, this is the directorial debut for Nick Cannon. Of course, we know him from What I Like About You.
Mariah Carey.
And, yeah. Or America's Got Talent. And School Dance, I couldn't even, I'm sorry, couldn't even get through like 5 minutes of this movie. It is offensive. They're talking about bringing guns to school. It's a comedy. I mean, this is the worst movie that, one of the worst movies I've ever seen. School Dance. Just absolutely offensive, insulting, not even entertaining.
Sounds
at
great.
All. Yeah, it sounds great, huh? Oh, yeah, trust me on this one. It's horrible. So School Dance, thumbs down. So there's three movies that you don't want to see.
But Wilmer Valderrama's in it.
There's a lot of people in this movie. I mean, I can't believe that even you're the guy that yells a lot from the Why Did I, or not.
Jim Brewer?
No.
Cat Williams?
No, from Ride Along.
Mike Epps?
No, Ride Along.
Oh, the little guy. Yeah. Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
He's in it, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Then it has to be good.
No, it's horrible.
Well, come on now. Yes. It's worth it just to watch.
But you know
him.
What is worth it? The Best of Me and Fury, right?
Yes, those were like...
No doubt.
Awesome.
You didn't see it.
No, but from what you guys said, I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. It is exciting.
Yes, and so we recommend everyone go out there. You know, also, Felony, that's a great movie. Rudderless, that is my pick for the week. Go out and see Rudderless.
Wow.
Dave, you haven't seen it yet. Trisha, you haven't seen it yet.
But
go
we are going
Rudderless.
To see it this weekend because like the screenwriter told us, this weekend is key to be able to get it released nationwide. So come on, Phoenix. Let's go out there and support them.
Yes.
Yeah. And go then go to the state fair and have this delicious food.
Well, before you eat the food, you've got to
really,
go on the rides.
Do you need more of that?
Go on the, do the 5K, go on the ride, eat the food, and then go watch the movie.
And then go eat the food again. And then go eat the food again, and then go eat the food again.
Yeah, I made the mistake years ago when I went to the fair. Is everyone I was with, we ate a ton of food, and then we went on one of those spinning rides, not thinking about it. And the whole time I was on the ride, I thought I was going to puke over everyone I was with. Luckily, I didn't do it, and I was able to hold it in. But yeah, so definitely be very careful what you eat before going on.
Let's examine this. How did you hold it in?
Oh, wow. I don't even want to describe that right now.
Oh,
that was a tough one. I was just thinking about anything else I could think about, but my mouth was just closed the whole time with a really serious look on my face.
And after the fair, you know, make sure you have enough time to go and check out Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare out there at Westworld. Mm-hmm. So much fun. We had a blast there last weekend. I screamed. And you know,
you had ice cream there?
No, I didn't.
I thought you said ice cream.
Yeah, I had ice cream off of Baby Firefly's belly.
Oh, Eden, yeah. That was you.
That was the fantasy side of the nightmare that day. Afterwards.
I was sleeping? Oh.
Yeah, they have a hallucination.
You woke up and there was a duck on top of you.
Yes, there was. Frozen was on top of me. And also, don't forget, Tuesday is the arrival at the outlets.
The big tree.
I said the big tree. We'll talk more about it.
Yeah, we will.
But of course...
Which is good, because Monday and Tuesday are the only days that Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare and the fair are not available.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the movies are available 7 days a week. The tree is available on Tuesday. And these other two fantastic activities are available.
And Joseph's available 24/7 for anyone
who wants to call. 602-252-1480.
Rob Zombie Thursday through Sunday, but the fair Wednesday.
And thank you to who? Casey?
And Kat.
Twinter,
yes, everyone today.
And,
you know,
and Christy Walsh.
Yes.
As well as Ryan Katz from the State Fair, Arizona State Fair. And stay tuned for what's coming up is Real Hockey Talk, starring none other than Sebastian Noren. And he'll be in studio. And, well, Joseph, you have a question, young
no,
man.
No, not a question. I wanted to make sure that Eric didn't cut us off before I said
okay,
it.
Okay, don't cut us off, Eric.
This is the end of Devil's Rejects, Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
It's a heartbreak. I have no control.
Iconic scene. Well, that's what I was trying to... But anyway, great movie. Go check out the Devil's Rejects. Yeah, and also next weekend, our Halloween special, Ouija in studio.
Ouija board. I can't wait to get my wish. Okay, we'll be right back after these words. And the
whispered to